welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the long-awaited episode 32 of The Jaded Gamers. I'm your host, Katsu, and with me, as always, is the Pharaoh.
As always.
As always, except for one time.
Except for one time.
I think it was episode 4. But, yeah, it's been
that was pretty crappy.
A long, long time. What has it been, like 5-6 weeks almost? I think we missed all of November.
Yep.
So, no real excuse for that. It just kind of been... honestly, it's been mostly scheduling. It's been scheduling for a long time, and...
Well, next, it's for me, it's mostly been too much class. 3 classes plus working full-time, never again.
I could have gone with nobody's ever accused you of having too much class, but we'll just leave that.
Well, I'm going to class to get class.
I see. Okay, so anyway, we're back, and we missed a shitload of releases. And a lot of gaming has been done since then, so we have a lot to cover. Since we missed so many releases, probably not going to go through every single release. We're just going to pick the relevant ones, stuff we've played, stuff we cared about, and stuff we were hoping to play. There's a lot of stuff that came out in October, November, but not so much stuff since then. I'm sort of surprised. I seem to remember games coming out, you know, a pretty good pace in late November, even to December. But I'm looking, and I looked at the last couple of weeks of releases, and it's kind of slowed down a lot, actually.
It's really strange. I assumed that every year more and more AAA titles would come out.
I'm wondering if people are getting smarter and just, you know, releasing shit earlier or at least throughout the year. I know, like, Super Smash Bros. Brawl got pushed back. You know, and there's a couple other titles that I can't remember off the top of my head, but that we were thinking they're going to be holiday releases, and, you know, they're being pushed back to 08. So, I mean, that's not such a bad thing, because there's a lot of gaming to do. So it's also, you know, pretty good break on your wallet. Sometimes, you know, especially at $60 a pop, they get kind of pricey. And then stuff like Rock Band, that's $170. So anyway, let's get right into it. Let's go into what we've been playing since the last podcast, and there's been a lot. I'll go and let you start, since you have a crap load of games in this list.
Well, for my birthday, which was the last week of October, you bought me Ratchet and Clank.
That's right.
I played all the way through that, about halfway through it a second time, because it lets you restart with all of your weapons and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome game. Great platformer.
Dude,
I hate 3D platformers.
I'd been looking to play a PS3 game for a long time. Something that was exclusive and good and kind of just fresh and new. And although Ratchet and Clank probably doesn't fit the fresh and new category, because it really is just another Ratchet and Clank game.
Except I've never played another Ratchet and Clank game.
That's what I was going to say. And that I own all the other Ratchet and Clank games, but I didn't really play through them. I played through a couple of them, maybe like a little bit through, and just kind of got disinterested or sidetracked by some other game. And guess what happened this time?
You haven't even opened it?
No, actually, I popped it in, but the same thing happened. I played through a couple levels and thought, wow, this looks really pretty, nice frame rate, gorgeous graphics, you know, bright colors, and
the gameplay
seems fun. But I get in about an hour and a half, and I just kind of start losing interest. I don't know why. I cannot explain it. It's not like, oh, this is a terrible game, or the weapons suck, or the camera's stupid. Well, the cameras, you know, 3D games generally aren't.
What I have to get...
for good cameras.
To communicate about this game, the motion control, all of the parts of the game that use motion control, mm-hmm. such as gliding when falling out of a plane,
right,
and
I
that
got,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got
much better than anything I've seen on the Wii, and that is sad.
That is sad. Actually, most of the PS3 motion controls have been atrocious, like Lair.
I didn't play Lair. There's even, nothing about riding dragons that appeals to me.
Even the game that was all motion controls... What was it? The ducks.
That's not a game. That's a tech demo.
Yeah, well, they turned it into a game, and I bought it because I played the demo, and when I was playing the demo, my little girl saw it, and she was like, oh, duckies, and she got all into it, and I'm like, well, you know what? If she likes watching me play this game, I'll go ahead and buy it, and I don't remember how much I paid. It wasn't that much. Anyway, I picked it up. This is a while back, and the controls are just atrocious. And that's because that's all you do is just move the control. And so I let her pick up the controls. The first few levels are ridiculously easy, and all you do is tilt them around. And, you know, she figured out that if she, like, quickly lifts, like, does it like a jerk of the controller, that it makes the whole thing jump, the little ducks jump. And so that's all she does. She just sits there and makes the ducks jump until they fall off, and then she makes the ducks jump, and then she makes the ducks jump. And I'm like, wow, this is not exactly the way I planned it. You know, I figured she just might tilt it a little bit, but no, she just wants to make the ducks jump. So anyway, so I pick up the controller for a moment. I start playing through the games, through the levels, I mean, and it's just so difficult to control. And this game was made specifically for the six axis, you know. So when Ratchet and Clank does something with the six axis and it's pretty good, you know, it is a kind of a breath of fresh air, like, wow, somebody actually got it correctly, the motion controls. But even still, don't you feel like, especially in PS3 type games, that they kind of add on six axis levels that would normally not be there?
Not for Ratchet and Clank, but in general. And not for Warhawk. Warhawk's six axis control after their first patch was awesome.
Well, see, Warhawk, when it was first shown, didn't have six axis controls. And then after at the show where they announced that they were going to have six axis controls, they all of a sudden had a version of Warhawk that had six axis controls. So I'm not even sure that they even planned it. They probably were like, okay, we need this new feature now. Add it quickly.
For controlling the planes in Warhawk, it's excellent. But that's about it.
Well, I don't know. I never bought Warhawk. I couldn't bring myself to it because I know that an online multiplayer game like that, I'm just not going to put enough time into it to warrant it.
You hate playing with other people.
I do. Other people, they're jerks. And plus, I hate relying on people. When I play online, I like to play single-player deathmatch type games. That's all I did really in Quake. Eventually, I started to do some team deathmatch. But like Shadowrun. You know, I played Shadowrun for a few weeks. And it was cool and all, but I hated relying on my fucking dumbass teammates. Because, first of all, I never played in, like, organized clans or anything like that. I was just kind of just jump on a server, be in a random, you know, team. And sometimes we got on there, and Serge got on there one time with us, and we, you know, be on the same team. But even then,
we'd own up the whole other team, just the two of us, because we're the only ones cooperating.
But even then, there's, like, four or five other people on our team, and they're just kind of running rogue, you know, just everybody doing their own shit.
Well, and I was playing Shadowrun pretty hardcore, like 2 hours a day, 2-3 hours a day.
Did you ever get into a clan or anything like that?
I didn't get into a clan, but I played with the same people every time, forming into a team.
Okay.
And there was not much challenge at all.
You just started tearing everybody apart. Yeah, so anyway, Warhawk was one of those type of games, and I just knew that I just wouldn't play it. I thought about picking the retail one up just to get the Bluetooth thing, because I don't have a Bluetooth headset at all.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know what? In 6 to 9 months, it'll probably be discounted, that whole package. And I haven't even checked. It might be even now. So
they just released an expansion for it, but I didn't.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know. But then again, by that time, you know, in a year's time after launch, probably very few people playing it anyway. So it might not even be worth it picking up. And plus, I found that I think that Bluetooth adapter is, like, really cheap, too. So anyway. So, yeah, so Ratchet & Clank, again, played an hour and a half. I don't know if I'll ever get through it. How long is it?
6 to 8 hours. And I got everything. I mean, I did everything you could in each level.
Wow.
Actually, each level has mini achievements if you look on the options screen. And I went for those, so it felt like I was playing Xbox. So.
Like a ghetto version of achievements.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other game, what was it? Heavenly Sword. I really liked Heavenly Sword. It played really, you know, well, and I was having fun with it. And it's a short game, which I know a lot of people hate, but I like short games. And I didn't even finish that one. I just kept getting sidetracked.
Did that have motion control garbage in it?
Yeah, it did. Like cannons, I think you would shoot cannons and stuff. Something.
How do you shoot a cannon?
Cannonballs or something like that. Yeah. You shoot cannonballs and you would control them. Or you can like hold down the button and control your projectiles. I think that's what it was garbage. It was complete garbage. And you know that somewhere along the way somebody says, you know, we really need to get motion controls into this game somehow. Where can we kind of fit them in? It's never like, you know, it'd be great if we had motion controls. Oh my God, yeah, that would work great here. It's always like, we have a standard platformer, 3D platformer action game. How can we stick motion controls in here somehow to appease Sony? I think that's what's happening, because the design of, it's not like the Wii where like, that's everything they do is pretty much all motion controls.
Let's talk about a PS3 game that doesn't have motion controls. That's actually a remake of an Xbox game.
What game is that?
Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
It doesn't have any?
Not that I can tell.
I applaud them for not just retrofitting some old level with new controls.
I would never have bought this game for $60, but I got it for $30 shipped on Jellyfish.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great price. I've been looking to play that game too, but again...
I'll let you borrow it.
Yeah, it's just... Well, first of all, I never played Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox.
Well, I played Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox, and it was crazy, crazy hard. I didn't get past the second boss.
Wow.
So...
I heard it was pretty hard.
Before I put in Sigma, I put back in Ninja Gaiden on my 360.
Uh-huh.
Played through. It still looks all right, but I played Ninja Gaiden Sigma on the PS3. They really, really upgraded the graphics.
Really?
There's no... It doesn't look like they recycled anything. It looks like they completely redid the game.
But is the level design the same? The weapons
well,
the same?
Well, the levels that were already the same are the same. I mean...
So they just added new levels.
They added new levels and new content.
But basically, it's the same game.
Right.
So this is the third iteration of the same game. Because they released Ninja Gaiden, then Ninja Gaiden Black, and now Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
And I just like the first game, I'm at the like fourth or fifth level, which is a... you're on an airship. I can't beat that boss.
Is it the same level as in the Xbox? Or is it just a...
I never got that far.
You never got that far in the Xbox. Okay, yeah. Well, Ninja Gaiden 2 is coming for the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I won't be buying that unless I can get it for super cheap. Because getting you never got stuck on the third level, not so good. Third or fourth level.
Yeah, but 30 bucks shipped is a great price. I think I might even consider picking it up for that much. Yeah, that's a good deal. But yeah, I agree with you. $60 for the third iteration of the same game.
You know, we're talking. We have a lot of PS3 stuff to talk about. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
The next thing that I have to talk about is Eye of Judgment that we both got that I never would have got if you hadn't picked me up a copy.
Yeah, here's what happened with Eye of Judgment. So, the first week it came out, I didn't really think too much of it until I found out that it was really hard to find, and that always makes something. It's like when you can't have something, it's always more desirable. So, you know, went around asking.
Is that why men want high school girls? Is that
no comment on that. But anyway, going back to Eye of Judgment. So it was kind of hard to find the first week. Apparently they didn't make it that many versions in the first batch. I'm not sure if it was an issue with the iToy camera or not. It's called the PlayStation Eye. That's what it's called now.
Whatever. iToy 3.
Actually, iToy 2, isn't it?
No, 3.
Oh, they had a second, like a redesign of the first one, right?
That it was a lot better than the first one, from what I've heard.
Okay. Anyway, so the PlayStation Eye, I don't know, for whatever reason, they made very few the first round. Maybe it was the cards, who knows. But so when that was pretty hard to get, you know, kind of made me want the game more. Originally, I was sort of interested, but when that, I couldn't find it, I was like, okay, now I really do want it. Then I saw in the ad at Fry's that they were supposed to have some. So my wife went over there at lunchtime, and I said, hey, if you find one, get one for me. And I'm like, you know what? If you find three, get one for you and another friend of ours. And if they don't want them, I can always just return them. No big deal. And so she bought three, and you and the other guy, Serge, ended up saying, okay, we'll take it. So you've played it, and Serge has played it. And then another friend I talked to about getting it, he bought it and played it. I've never played it.
You know what pisses me off about that game?
What?
I've called like 7 different GameStops. None of them have the
expansion
boosters.
Cards? Yeah. And the other bad part about that game, or good part, I guess, depending on how you think about it, is that the PlayStation Eye apparently takes fake
yes,
printouts.
Yes, copied cards. Because all they use is a pattern of black blocks that are on the card.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually even care about the art. All you need is the blocks.
Uh-huh. So you just download those, like, they're like sort of UPC code-ish type of blocks.
Yeah.
And you scan those, and all of a sudden you have the card. So what people do is they scan high-resolution versions of those codes,
so
print, and then distribute them. People print them out, and then all of a sudden they have that card.
I played the first week it was out. I played online against a whole bunch of people, and it was a pain in the ass to register my deck because you have to put every card up.
Uh-huh.
And then when you're playing online, it shuffles and tells you what card you pick.
Uh-huh.
Then you have to go through your deck looking for it. And
that's lame.
But they have to do that. That makes perfect sense that they did that, because otherwise people would, I conveniently picked the perfect card right now.
Right, right.
But every person I played had a deck full of rares. It was amazing. Boosters nowhere to be found. They didn't print enough, but everyone and their mom has all the rare cards. So, scans. Yeah.
Well, I guess the only way you could really get around that is if you play your buddy, live. And even then, the game doesn't care. It's you being, honest. So, and this is the internet. Anonymity, you can pretty much forget about playing it online. Especially well, since it didn't...
If I had scans and could build my own decks, I'd play online.
You don't have the scans?
Well...
Did you look for them?
I didn't even look for them.
Oh, okay. I haven't even...
Just because it's going to be so much effort to get them and then print multiple copies of each card out and cut them out. And...
Well, I opened the game. That's about all I did. I looked at the cards. They looked pretty cool. But I didn't really get in... I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, I got to play this. So I bought it and it sort of sat there. So I hope there's another PlayStation Eye game that comes out fairly soon. That...
They already have a bunch of downloadable games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What supports it?
They're like downloadable iToy games.
Oh, just standalone, like downloadable PSN games?
Yeah.
PlayStation Network games? Okay.
I did not buy any of them. But I did buy Pain on recommendation of my coworker.
What is that? Is that like a puzzler with you like cause pain to this one little dude? Or
so you have this dude and a giant slingshot and targets.
That's nice.
And you want to cause as much pain to him as possible.
How does it quantify the pain?
By getting smacked by objects and slingshotting him into signs.
Does he bleed and does he get
he
dismembered?
He doesn't bleed, he doesn't get dismembered. He so makes terrible ouchy sounds. The game is terrible. I've said this before. I've taken this guy's advice before on non-gaming stuff.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, this game's terrible and this guy will never, ever, ever give me advice again.
Well, he'll give you advice. You just don't have to take it.
No, I'll just stop him in the middle if he tries.
Just don't even bother, huh? Yeah, I heard about Pain, but I didn't really research too much into it, so I just let it go.
There was a game, I want to say it was called Flat Out for the PC.
Yeah,
where you
I was
launched
thinking about that,
guys
actually.
Into
uh-huh.
the
right,
from
like,
their car
yeah,
through
fly
their
out
windshield.
Of the windshield. Right,
that's much better. If you have the urge to buy
that game
Pain,
wasn't bad.
Buy that game because it'll probably be $10 or less.
That game is actually not bad. Even they made a sequel that I heard wasn't too bad either.
Yeah.
Flat Out and Flat Out 2. Yeah. I played that on the PC back when it was like pre-release. I think it was at QuakeCon or something. They had a booth set up. So it was pretty fun. Actually, I think I won a prize at one of their... They had a little tournament. We had a... I think it had a Demolition Derby mode. Yeah, that's what it was. And I won some nice speakers. But anyway...
Let's talk about our one Wii game.
What's that?
Mario Galaxy.
No. Wait, hold on. I want to talk about a PlayStation game now.
What PlayStation game?
I bought Everyday Shooter.
Oh, you bought Everyday Shooter. And that's available on the 360 also, right?
No, it's a PlayStation exclusive, PlayStation Network. So it was on sale for $5. So I picked it up.
I would have picked it up if I knew it was on sale for
$5. It was made by one guy. His name was Jonathan Mack. I actually saw an interview with him in Game Informer maybe three issues back. And just a single guy out of Toronto. He started making video games, you know, like most developers do when he was a kid. And he got out of school and decided he was going to make his own video game company. Made the first game, wasn't, you know, that great. Second game he made was that one, Everyday Shooter. And it was pretty basic. It's basically like Geometry Wars and every Extend Extra and like Snake all kind of put together. And it's really cool.
I haven't fired up the brain cells to remember the game Snake in years and years and years.
And maybe like a little bit of Amplitude or maybe like a harmonics flair to it as well.
Amplitude was pretty awesome.
Because what the game is, it's basically a top-down shooter. And it's got a very distinct cel-shaded 3D look. Really cool looking. Very geometric. So you got the Geometry Wars thing going. And of course, it's left stick moves, right stick shoots, which there's like dozens of those seems.
But do you kill to a beat?
Yes. Sweet. So it's a little Rez-ish, too. It's kind of like Rez, too, because of the kind of 3D polygons, kind of flat-shaded. But it looks really cool. And the guy did all the music himself, all the programming, all the art design, everything. And
so
apparently,
he's raking in the dough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is on the PlayStation Network. And it only costs $5 a copy, so I don't know how much of that he gets. So
even if he gets a quarter.
But Sony recruited him and said, hey, you know, we were looking for some indie stuff to go on our PlayStation Network, and your stuff looks pretty good. Can you put it on our PlayStation? And he was like, well, I've been approached by other publishers to license the game, but they want me to rip out all the music, and it's like a core essential part of the gameplay, and they want to put in like licensed music. And he's like, no, it's part of the game. You just leave it
There's
like that.
There's no reason to put licensed music in a shooter.
Well, you know, you get a little...
And maybe some Dragon
little,
Force, but that's about it.
A little My Chemical Romance and
no.
Day and
no.
whatever, and you know, you can squeeze out a few extra dollars. But so he didn't want to go with them. So Sony said, you can go ahead and leave it the way it is. The only thing we ask is you switch it to 16:9 native. Because it was 4:3 originally, so he worked on that design, got that figured out. But apparently, they sent him a PlayStation 3 kit, and in 3 days, he had the game running. So I don't know. I don't know. The PlayStation 3 development is, but then again, it was a pretty simple game. It's not like a super complicated design, right?
I'm guessing that they probably have a Flash developer's kit in it, and the game probably runs almost entirely in Flash.
No, I don't think so. I think Flash does some 3D, but I don't think it does because it's pretty involved. I would think there's quite a bit of programming behind, you know, some logic behind there. I don't know if Flash could handle that. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But in any case, I got it up running in 3 days, and it's a really good game. For $5, it's a great deal.
Is it still $5?
I don't know. I think it's $5 through the holidays, so it probably is.
I might pick it up.
Yeah. I recommend it, especially at $5.
I'm still playing Super Stardust HD.
That was a great game, too. It's kind of like Super Stardust HD, but flat and more musically inclined. Like it's got a lot of guitar riffs.
Are there corners in the game?
Yeah, it's okay, a 16 by 9. Okay. Yeah. It's more like Geometry. It's not. That was the nice thing about Super Stardust is that it was on a sphere, so you never got cornered, which was nice.
And you could always turbo out.
Right, right. Yeah, and it made you pretty much invincible.
Not pretty much. Invincible.
Well, yeah, it made you invincible and you kill everything. It's not like you just pass through them. You would kill them and go through them. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I recommend that for $5. What else did I play on the PlayStation 3? Oh, I got that Uncharted demo.
I played that yesterday.
I was looking forward to that game quite a bit. Again, I've been looking for... My PlayStation just sort of sits there. Every so often, I'll put a Blu-ray, you know, movie in there or, you know, put a PlayStation 2 game if I want to play one of those. But very rarely do I put it, you know, through its paces as a PlayStation 3 game player. So I've been looking for that Ratchet & Clank and Eye of Judgment, which I still haven't done. But Uncharted was coming out, and I'm like, you know, that looks pretty decent. And the demo came out. So I downloaded the demo, and I'm playing, and I'm like, this seems pretty cool. And I started playing. I'm like, yeah, I keep hearing that it's like kind of like Tomb Raider with a guy. And I'm like, wait, Tomb Raider with a guy? Doesn't that make it Indiana Jones? Because wasn't Tomb Raider just Indiana Jones with a girl?
Yeah.
So doesn't that kind of bring it full circle back to it just being
Indiana? And they're making a new Indiana Jones and a new Indiana Jones game.
Yeah. Well, if Indiana Jones shot a lot more, and had a lot of guns, then, okay, maybe it'd be like Indiana Jones. But, so it's set in the jungle, and...
Everything's fucking shiny.
Yeah.
Everything looks like it's covered in petroleum jelly.
Well, yeah, that wasn't really my big gripe. It was okay.
That's a big gripe for me.
So it's like Indiana Jones.
It hurts my eyes to look at.
It's like Indiana Jones with lots of guns and lots of rain, I guess, or just rained.
Some nice clothing effects when he gets wet.
The one thing I didn't like was that it seemed almost like... I didn't like that. I don't think you could jump in that game, right? You just push forward and automatically...
No, you can jump.
You sure?
Yep.
What did it do?
I played it yesterday.
It did something automatically that I thought it was jumping, like Link, where we just like push forward and you'd automatically jump.
No.
No, it's not like that? I swear that was...
Are you sure you played the Uncharted demo?
Yeah. It was one like all you did was get behind...
Circle, all it does is get behind objects.
Yeah, it reminded me of like Gears of War. You know, you get behind cover and then pop out and shoot people and pop out and shoot people and pop out and shoot more people and then more people and more
what
people.
What I hated was that headshots don't seem to count.
I don't know. I just wasn't impressed. I was like, wow.
I would shoot someone in the head 3 times to kill them.
I expected a lot more.
There is no person on this planet that you need to be able to shoot 3 times in the head before they die.
Man, yeah, I'll talk about this a little bit more in Call of Duty, but even in Call of Duty, you could take a couple of shots. So, except for headshot. I think headshots do kill. Yeah, they do.
As they should.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Uncharted demo unimpressed me enough that I didn't buy the game.
Also known as the uninspired demo.
Pretty much. What else did I play? Well, let's go back to what you were saying. Let's get Mario Galaxy for now, because I do want to talk about that at length.
You have been playing it.
What else? Demos. Okay, Cultsept Saga demo. This is another thing that I was like telling everybody, oh, you need to play this. It's like Eye of Judgment, and I haven't played it myself.
I've played it.
You've played it. Serge played it. Both of you guys were pretty big into Cultsept.
Yep. And I've been playing Cultsept before that, not knowing that this demo was coming.
Yeah, it just kind of snuck up. We've been wondering about Cultsept for a while, and then all of a sudden we have a demo.
It was supposed to come out, I want to say, last July.
Yeah. So anyway, what'd you think? Tell me.
It's just like Cultsept, but in HD with some more new cards.
Wow.
But even the cards that are from the first game are redrawn.
Do you play against humans or computer?
I didn't play against humans because it seems like you can only do multiplayer. But I was trying to get Jasmine X to play with me, but...
So you didn't play against humans, you said?
No, I didn't. I don't think you can play online.
No, but I mean, you can't play locally against
humans? You can, but I haven't had anybody to play with.
Oh, okay. Did Jasmine X play Cultsept at all on the PS2?
No, she didn't. Okay. But I haven't tried to show her yet. I will show her with Saga.
So you would safely say that it didn't fuck with the system, the Coldcept system.
No, it's just like Coldcept.
That's good. That's actually good news. So they've updated it, add online play, add probably new cards, new maps. That's all they really needed to do.
You know, I'm really happy it's coming out, but I have this nagging fear.
That's going to suck?
No, that they're going to nickel and dime you for expansion cards.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. And since there's no PlayStation I or Xbox Live I.
Yeah, there is.
No, I mean for the game. Like, there's not going to be any scanning of cards.
Yeah. That's a bunch of crap. Yeah. That was a terrible decision by Sony.
Yep.
What they should have done is have the card scanned in and then have it all done digitally if you want, with the option to put it down.
Well, the other thing they could have done is just put a unique serial numbers on every card.
So that would have been a bitch for printing. There's no way they could do that.
No, for the
cost of printing it would be way too.
They can't just sequentially number the cards.
Well, when you do printing, you have plates.
Yeah.
They would have to have a new plate every time.
Well, how do they do other stuff that has sequential, like serial numbers on it?
That's a separate stamp.
Oh.
It's a separate.
Well, anyway, I don't know. Not my problem.
It would have way raised the price for each card.
So, Coldcept, do we know when it's coming out?
Spring? We don't.
Spring, maybe?
I don't think there's a release date.
Well, if the demo's out, it's got to be pretty close, somewhat close.
It better come out now.
I don't know about now. I got other stuff to play. So what else you got? Disgaea, Afternoon of Darkness. We talked about this a couple of podcasts ago.
Hey, did you like Disgaea on the PS2?
It was okay.
It's the exact same game with a couple extra things, and now you can skip cutscenes.
Sweet. So, thumbs up?
Thumbs up. Just like Disgaea.
If you like Disgaea, you'll like
Disgaea. If you like Final Fantasy Tactics, you need to play this game.
Yeah.
This is a PSP title. And, yeah.
What about Kingdom of Loathing? What's that all about?
So, I've been playing this web-based game called Kingdom of Loathing, which is an online click game. There's no... You just click. It's an RPG. And you have items. It's a very campy, hilarious RPG. Like, one of the quests that I did today was called your character name, this is Azrael in Hell. Like, all the titles of the quests are songs. Like, that's Angry Johnny, this is Jezebel in Hell by Poe. Song Angry Johnny?
Nope.
Wow.
I know the song, but I don't remember that part of the time.
And then, like, you're rescuing some miners, and it's like, help, I need somebody, not just anybody. The game's hilarious. I can't do it justice explaining
it. So this is only for Poe fans?
No, this is for anyone who likes humor and RPGs.
Okay.
KingdomofLoathing.com. It's free.
It's free? So how do they make money? Is it?
Well, they have a donation button that I can't even find, but there is a donation somewhere on there.
Okay.
And
somebody's got to pay for all
the servers.
There's
different classes. Like I'm a pasta mancer. Jasmine X is a sorcerer. Then there's the accordion thieves and disco bandits. The game's hilarious. You just have to check it out.
Hmm. Do you foresee a future where this could come to a console?
No.
No, there's no way?
There's no way.
Okay.
All the drawings are stick figure based.
Oh, okay.
Like, well, I know.
Those games have their charm.
They do, and they're awesome. I've been playing the crap out of it.
Okay.
Well, I just got an item that called Steel Liver. Now I can drink more because you get adventures by drinking. It's awesome.
So, okay, before we get to the big two subjects that I want to talk about, I want to talk about Portal. Because
Didn't we talk about Portal last time?
But I hadn't played it.
Whose fault is that?
Your fault.
My fault.
Yeah, you didn't give me the codes to Portal until like a couple days ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. Are we talking about a Stargate? Like codes to a Stargate?
No. Anyway, so thanks to you, I did finally get Portal. And I've been playing Portal for about an hour, and I'm almost done with it.
You should have already been done with it.
Well, I don't know how long I've been playing with, but did it seemed like about an hour. Because you gave me, and I was like, well, let me just try a level. I'm like, well, that wasn't really a level. Let me try the next level. Well, that wasn't really a level. Let me try the next level. Well, that wasn't really a level. Like, when am I going to get to an actual real level? And about 6 or 7 or 8 levels in, I was like, okay, that was sort of a level. I'm like, well, what's the next level? Because it's fun. Yeah. So I play the next level, and I'm like, oh, that wasn't too bad. Next level. That wasn't too bad. And then they get to the one where she says, the humor is really good. Like, the way the GLaDOS talks to you and the things she says is really funny.
GLaDOS.
Whatever. It looks like GLaDOS to me.
It's GLaDOS.
But isn't it a female voice?
It's GLaDOS.
Do they say the name in the game?
Yes.
When? Do they say GLaDOS in the game?
The developers have said GLaDOS. If you
did this in the game?
Listen to the developer commentary, which you can enable while playing.
In the game, do they ever say GLaDOS?
No, but the developers say.
Did they ever say GLaDOS?
No.
Don't you think it's a little funny that they would have named it a certain way to make it sound like a real person's name?
Don't care.
No. I'm sure that it was a play on
words. It's genetic life form and disk operating system.
I'm sure that it has a very nice, you know, the acronym, sure, it means something, whatever you said, but ultimately it looks like GLaDOS, and I'm sure it was that way.
Your
on
mom
purpose.
Would call it GLaDOS.
No, I'm certain it's GLaDOS. It may be the GLaDOS, but it's got to be GLaDOS. Otherwise, it's just too clever not to be. Anyway, GLaDOS says stuff to you.
GLaDOS says stuff to you, all right.
No, GLaDOS says stuff to you that is sort of like funny in a Naked Gun way. Where it's kind of deadpan and serious,
it's
but
the equivalent
it's funny.
Of "Shirley, you jest." No, and don't call me Shirley.
Exactly. It's what's that guy's name? White haired dude and comes out Naked Gun.
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen. There you go.
He's still alive.
Is he?
Yeah, he was
must
in.
Be like, he must
you know
be 120
how old
years
he
old
is. He was in Forbidden Planet. That's how old he is.
So Leslie Nielsen is one of those guys that he doesn't say stuff to be funny. He says stuff like real deadpan, and that's what makes it funny. And that's kind of GLaDOS's. She says stuff that isn't necessarily supposed to be funny, but it's funny. But anyway, so I got to a level where it says, don't even try this level. It's impossible, you know, which it wasn't even that hard of a level. But, you know, things like that.
But then when you finish the level,
yeah, she's like,
she says, now you've triumphed in the face of overwhelming negativity.
Adversity or whatever. No, just negativism or whatever.
Negativity.
And
it's like nativity, but different.
Anyway, I was having fun, so I kept playing and kept playing. Then I was like, why do these rooms say 12/19? 13/... What? There's only 19 levels. And so I got to level 15. I don't know how long I've been playing. I figured about an hour. And I noticed that it was really late, so I stopped playing. So I haven't finished playing the game, but I'd already seen the ending. That's one of the reasons I wanted to play Portal, because of the ending. Because I actually had it on my iPod or iPhone for a long time. And
that is an awesome song.
Yeah, it's a great song and it's pretty clever. But yeah, what's the deal with Portal? Why isn't it like 100 levels?
Well, after you play through it, you can play the normal. You can play those levels again as challenges, and then there are advanced levels,
so
which are modified versions of those levels. And they have promised that they're going to release more levels without making you pay.
Oh, that's nice.
And you can already download other people's levels.
Oh, really? So yeah. It has editor. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's a Source game.
I don't play Source games. This is the first one that I actually enjoyed. You know, I've always been Half-Life 2
hater. But you played
Nabacular
Drop, the prequel, or the developer team.
No.
Well, those developers were bought by were hired by Valve.
Mm-hmm. To make Portal?
To make Portal after they made a game they called Nabacular Drop, which uses the exact same dynamic.
Oh, okay.
But this is a lot better. In Nabacular Drop, they would do things like, if you screwed up, you're just totally screwed and you had to restart the level.
Oh.
But they made them take things like that out.
Yeah, because I did notice like you couldn't really trap yourself.
But you can kill yourself.
You definitely kill yourself.
Over and over and over again.
I never died once, though. I haven't died yet.
You will. Oh, yes,
well,
you will.
I'm sure I will, but... Well, actually, I'm not sure, because there's only 4 levels left. I guess they make, unless they get insanely difficult. Did you die at all in the first 15 levels?
In the first 15 levels?
Yeah.
Yes.
I never died. Not once.
Really?
Yeah, not once. Never died. No level took me that long either. I knew. Anyway, maybe I just have a portal-like mind, right, where I can just see everything. But anyway, did you see that speed playthrough? It was like the guy did the whole game in 18 minutes?
No.
Really? It's pretty crazy. You can't even see what he's doing.
I'd rather just play the game.
I'm sure he'd played through the game normally before he could figure out how to do it in 18 minutes, but it's pretty insane if you watch that Portal speed playthrough video. It's pretty cool. So here are the big two things I want to talk about this week. One is Rock Band and one is Call of Duty 4. One you have involvement with. The other one, you just saw me almost hurl the controller for about 30 minutes I was playing through it.
It's exactly what I expected to.
When you saw a very, 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 very small part of the game.
Don't care.
Yeah, you saw like 60 seconds of a mini-hour game.
So? It's Call of Duty. I don't like Call of Duty.
Well, I'll tell you
what.
You said you didn't like Call of Duty because it was in World War II and there was too many World War II shooters. This one's not in World War II, so what's your excuse?
I don't like...
Do you not like really good FPSs, really great stories, really great control? It's not like Ghost Recon.
I play games for escapism.
Call of Duty 4 is nothing like Ghost Recon.
It looked exactly like Ghost
no,
Recon.
No, it may have
play.
A look like it, but there's no squad-based control.
Okay, minus a squad, it's the same as Ghost Recon.
That's not the same thing at all. That's like saying Halo is exactly the same as Quake because they're first-person shooters.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
They're both modern-based first-person shooters where you do modern scenarios for bullshit. What, are you fighting terrorists, probably?
Well, what do you want to fight?
I want a escapist game because I like escapism.
So
I want the past, something, you know, a hook besides, you're fighting terrorists.
This is so as opposed to the weekends you go and fight in Afghanistan.
That's not the point.
That's not the point. You just said you wanted to escape.
I want to escape the real world.
So you don't
want to play games.
You don't want to play modern time games.
I don't want to play it. I don't want to play realistic racing games. I don't want to play realistic shooter games.
So, okay. So in a realistic game, wouldn't you die with a bullet to the head? Or, well, I guess in this game you do. Wouldn't you die with 2-3 bullets to the chest? Would you be able to, you know, crouch behind a barrel or a crate or hide around a corner and heal to 100%? Could you do that? Do you have teammates that are completely...
Could you drift into a corner while driving and then can complete the game later?
Could you completely...
Complete a race after completely smashing your car into the side of a grate?
There is a level of realism that's probably...
Now, what you're saying is they made changes to make the game passable.
No, no. You can't have a game where it's... Well, I guess you can. It would be difficult to make a game that mimic real life, such as, you know, Nomad packs... You can't ever heal. One bullet and you die. I mean, that wouldn't be very fun. So there's always going to be a level of escapism. And unless you're, you know, fighting a war against terrorism in your spare time, it's escapism for you, too.
I need a higher level of escapism than that. Well, as an Arab, I really don't need to see a whole bunch of terrorists.
Oh, come on. Shut up. Why would... It's like me complaining about any Ubisoft game ever made because they killed Mexicans. Who cares?
It's perfectly legitimate.
Oh, that's retarded. That's retarded. Call of Duty 4 is, in my book, it's the second best game released this year, behind the first best game, which I'll talk about later. The second best game of all the year.
The same formula as all of those other shooters.
Which is what? You point a gun at something and shoot?
No.
What do you expect?
You point a gun at terrorists and you go through a level eliminating terrorists.
If you switch the fucking terrorists with clowns and you shoot paintballs at them, does it make the game any better or
worse?
It would
probably be more fun for me, maybe not for you.
No, that's retarded. The game is fun because it's fun regardless of the setting. It doesn't matter. It may add, and it may even detract if you don't like certain things. I guess if it was all dressed up as Hannah Montana, okay, probably wouldn't like it as much.
And it's a real world squad-based shooter, I don't enjoy that as much. I don't like Ace Combat.
It's not squad-based. Again, it's not squad-based. There's a squad. You don't control them. You're not the squad leader. You're not given commands.
But there is a squad.
Yes, there's a squad, but it's not squad-based gameplay.
Don't care.
No, you're being ridiculous. You're being ridiculous. This is
the
one of the best games.
That I enjoy about
the only thing that
those
I enjoy
is
that you're denying
co-op.
Yourself this game. Because by denying yourself this game, you're denying yourself a great game and you deserve it for being an idiot. You're totally...
I played the first three Call of Duties.
You played the first three Call of Duties?
Yes.
You played Call of Duty 3?
Yes.
That game was terrible.
Okay.
That was like...
So what you're telling me is that even though I hated it three times, I should really try it this
first form. Of all, Call of Duty 3 was made by Treyarch. Okay? It wasn't made by Infinity Ward. It was a different developer.
And it was still bad.
I didn't play Call of Duty 3. I bought Call of Duty 3. I played about an hour or so of it, and I'm like, this is totally lame. It was lame, and I wouldn't go as far as to say it was a poor game, but it was just... Something just didn't seem quite right, and maybe it's because I knew it wasn't an Infinity War game, but I still bought the game. I still expected to have fun with it, and it just seemed tired. And okay, maybe
and that's how I feel about those games.
But
this game is
different. You know what you saw me play? You saw me play the epilogue level, where after the whole game is complete and all the credits have played, you saw me play the one level at the end of the game, 60 seconds long. In actuality, it's really like an hour and a half long because you have to play it so many times on Veteran.
Did you finish it?
But yes, I did. Oh. It was a motherfucker, too. The whole game was a motherfucker because I played it on Veteran. I played it on Veteran since the beginning thinking one of the knocks I heard about the game was that it was a 4-hour game, 4 to 5 hour game if you played it on normal mode and you just kind of went through the game. And normally, I'm not against that. That's not really negative against me. But I think I noticed as I went through and before I played the game, and I noticed there was a ton of achievements for playing through veteran. I'm like, how hard could it be? I'm a veteran.
In the ass.
I'm a veteran at first person shooters. I've played them forever. So it can't be that hard. So I go through the training, and it actually, you go through it a couple times, and it recommends a level for you, and it said hardened, which was second to the hardest. I'm like, fuck that. I'm picking veteran. So I said, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. Fucking just start the game, okay? So we start playing, and all of a sudden, you know, it thrusts you into this first level. It's an amazing level with, like, you infiltrate the ship in a stormy sea, and the whole level's moving, and it's just awesome. And the graphics are great, and the gameplay is great, and everything was good. And the story was, like, building up nicely, and it was, you know, really impressing me until you got shot. And you get shot. And the first level, you don't really ever take point. It's always, like, your squad mates.
Yeah.
And you just kind of follow them around the first level. And I got shot a few times. I'm like, motherfucker, like, that was really quick to die. And so the first level's not too bad. So I got past that, started playing the next one. I'm like, wow, this is really fucking hard. And as I played more, it was just, there was parts, I swear to God, that it was impossible. Probably four parts in the game where I thought, it's just impossible. The game is broken. Like, there's no way that I can get to the end of this level. Most of the times there were timed levels. For the record, I fucking hate timed levels.
Now, without achievements, would you have trogged through these?
No way. No, there's no way. And I'm glad I did, because it's probably the biggest gaming achievement I've ever accomplished. Ever. Not, and I'm talking game long. Not
now,
just a single, like, beating a boss or
now,
beating
not,
a really
not
hard
counting
guitar
the
hero
timed
song.
Levels. Harder than co-op on the hardest difficulty on Grah 2, was it, we played?
Oh, my God. It's about two times harder than that.
Wow.
Because
that doesn't sound like fun. That sounds
no,
like a
you
chore.
Would think that you and I would normally be with you. This is why I didn't play all through all Legendary. But even Legendary was easier, I think, than
on
Veteran.
Halo 3, you mean?
Yeah. Than Call of Duty 4 on Veteran. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, that one level you saw me play was 60 seconds. I had to get through the whole plane.
And it's
in
747. I believe it's Air Force One.
Actually, it wasn't. It was some guy talking crazy talk, one of those weird languages.
What?
I don't know. He was something or other. He wasn't American. But I finally did save him at the end. And it was just awesome. When you did it, you're like, yes, you motherfuckers. Like, I finally fucking passed this, you know? But there's a couple times where I swear to God, I just thought it was broken. Like, there's just no way. How can I get to the end of this level in a certain amount of time? There's just no fucking way. But, you know, I did it. I passed the whole game on Veteran. And it was a big achievement for me. And another thing was that it elongated the game from a 4 to 5 hour game to about a 20 something hour game, not only because of all the redos, which there are a lot of, I admit, and I can understand where it wouldn't be fun to some people. You know, they'd
to
rather,
some people,
probably to most people,
I'd rather wash cars.
But you know what? There's a hardened and there's a regular and there's a recruit, an easy version. So there's a level there for everybody.
Not everyone know? Who wants all the achievements.
You won't get about half the achievements if you do veteran, but you can still get a good chunk of them.
And was it a good game in the fact that it gave you all the lower achievements when you finished it on veteran?
There was only achievements for finishing on veteran.
Holy crap.
No, well, let me rephrase that. The only special achievements for playing on any particular level was for playing on veteran. You got all the other achievements no matter what level you played at.
I see.
Actually, there was one for if you finished the game on hard or veteran, then you would get that achievement. But there were only specific veteran levels. If you finished on recruit, regular, or hardened, didn't matter. You still got the same achievement. And you can get some of the other achievements. Like, I've been going back. I miss some. Mm-hmm. Like, shooting out all the TVs on a certain level where the guy's speech is playing. If you do that, it's an achievement. But yeah, I just go back and recruit, and I just blow through the game. It's so funny. Like, I've never played on anything but veteran, and I go back now to do some achievements on recruit. It's ridiculous. I just run right up to them. But anyway, this game, it's like, it does cinematic feel in the right way. It doesn't do it to the part where you feel like you're removed from the game. It feels like it's really part of the game, and you transition from loading, like the loading levels or the part where it's explaining the next mission and all that stuff. It's really cool. And then it goes right into the, does like wire meshes of the helicopter, and then it zooms into that wire mesh, and then you're all of a sudden you're on the helicopter and you're flying over the water and you're circling the city, and then you land, and then all of a sudden you're in the game. You know, there's no like load times or cuts, or it just goes right into the game. and the weapons all handle really well. The squad mates, they're pretty good. Sometimes they're a little stupid. Sometimes I was cursing at them, why didn't you shoot that fucker there? You know? Most part, they're pretty good. And the other thing is they're indestructible, unless the script calls for otherwise. but for the most part, they're indestructible. They're indestructible to everything except your bullets and your grenades.
Good
you
job.
You can kill them, but the enemy can't. So.
Do they respawn after you kill them?
No, the game, the level ends. it says friendly fire will not be tolerated, end of level. So it does a pretty good job. Like, if they're really, like, in your line of fire, it won't let you shoot because they're in their line of fire. But, you know, if they're far away enough, you can shoot them.
Great.
But it's pretty good. Even on veteran, like, it's pretty lenient. I mean, you really have to lay into a guy to kill him. You can shoot him accidentally once. You know, and it'll be like, hey, watch your fire or check your fire or whatever. But it's not too bad. But some of those levels are just ridiculously good. You know what a ghillie suit is?
Yes.
Okay, there's a level called...
It's the brush.
Yeah, it's called All Ghillied Up. And it's probably my favorite level. You sneak, and this is the one where you don't really kill anything, at least not until the end. You sneak through this whole level, sniping out guys, and there's an achievement for getting through the game with or getting through the level without alerting anybody.
Did you get it?
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, you're following this like Scottish badass dude who's like telling you, okay, follow me, you know, go prone, come through here, whatever, and he's talking to you through the radio headset. It's just an amazing level. It's really good. And then at the end of that level, you get fucked because it's a time level, get to the landing zone in 20 minutes. And you're like, okay, the whole level I've been spent, you know, trying to get here without getting seen. Now they've been alerted to my presence. Now I'm fucked because you're basically a team of two versus like hundreds. And you're trying to get through them all to get to the landing zone. It's hard.
A cast of 1,000 bad guys.
It's hard, but it was definitely worth it. And I wholeheartedly recommend the game. If you like first-person shooters at all, do not play it on veteran unless you're really good, have lots of patience, or want the achievements. Because it will fuck you up. It is very hard. But it's a great sense of accomplishment if you do get through it. So, and with that game, with those veteran points, I did finally took my crown, my deserved crown away from you for most achievement points for, I guess, between us.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I didn't have it by my...
I haven't played a 360 game in...
And like I didn't do it by months. Having my girlfriend's daughters play Ratatouille and my girlfriend play Viva Piñata.
Well, your wife would be pretty pissed if you did that.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean. So, anyway, there's that. What else? Oh, Rock Band. That's the other game. Now, you do have experience with Rock Band.
I do.
And you did not buy Rock Band.
Hell no.
Now, would you care to tell me why you didn't decide to buy Rock Band?
Well, the first thing is, it's $170.
Besides the price. We know the price.
What do you mean besides the price?
Okay, so the price
why
is...
Why didn't you buy something? It's so, $170.
So is that the only reason?
No.
Okay, see, that's what I'm getting at.
That's the main
because
reason.
Because you're the type of guy, and just like me, that you will pay a lot of money for something if you want it.
If it's worth it.
Okay, so okay, let me rephrase the question. Why did you not think Rock Band was worth $170?
Because the majority of the new music on there is stuff that I absolutely cannot stand.
So the ability to download new albums and new music wasn't enough for you?
No, that makes it worse.
Why is that?
Because instead of releasing a new game like they did with SingStar Carrier, or SingStar, was
yeah,
it?
Mm-hmm.
Where you just release a new game?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to nickel and dime me on add-on packs where I end up paying, like, if what? I played the game individually, well, I'd be paying $100.
Here's the thing. They're giving you group discounts for songs, for packs that make sense, like the Metallica pack or the David Bowie pack or whatever pack.
Bowie.
And they're also doing individual songs. So if you don't like all the songs, you can just buy single songs. And they range from 99 cents to $2.99, with the majority
too
being...
Too much.
Which majority being $1.99.
99 cents is too much.
Too much for a song?
Yes.
Dude.
It's too much on iTunes. It's too
How much,
much
do you
there.
Pay for a fucking cup of coffee? And how much do you enjoy that for?
I very rarely buy a cup of coffee. Yesterday I bought a cup of coffee because we were out of creamer and I needed a freaking cup of coffee.
Okay, how much do you buy? A dollar is, in the grand scheme of things, is nothing. And if you buy like a new song that you like, that you would play multiple times, it's totally worth a dollar. Even though most of them are going to be $2 is what they said.
That's even worth less.
But you can buy packs of them. They're worth, you know, they're less than that.
Yeah.
So it's solely based on the songs.
The songs and the
What
price.
Songs do you want on there?
I want stuff more like Guitar Hero 1 had. I want some Clapton. I want good Rolling Stones. I want I liked the Who song that's on there. I like the Boston song that's on there. I want some Pink Floyd on there. I mean, just more different.
So you realize that there's absolutely no way they could please everybody, right?
I realize that, yes.
So they have to kind of pick out a mix of...
From what I can tell, the demographic that they're hitting is over 40 and about 18 to 19. What's the number one demographic that buys games? Who spends the most money? 25 to 35. What's the demographic they didn't cater to? 25 to 35.
I'm going to have to disagree. I'm in the 25 to 35 range, and I like the songs a lot. And so I don't know what you're talking about.
Mississippi Queen? Are you serious?
Not that particular. Actually, that song is actually pretty fun. Not particularly for my demographic, but it's pretty fun. They have a lot of stuff from the 90s, which is probably the stuff that I like the
most.
That's
the stuff that I like.
There's a lot. The biggest chunk is from the 90s.
Well, those are the songs that I like, but the rest of it annoy the crap out of me. And the fact that they're in sets where I have to play those songs, I can't just pick songs.
If you want to go through World Tour, yeah.
Yeah, where I have to play sets of songs where I'm going to like one of them and hate two of them, that's no good.
You don't have to play that. You could just sit there and select songs all day long. You just don't have to play World Tour.
But then
Tour.
I wouldn't get all the achievements.
Well, that's your problem.
Well, there you go. If I can't get all the achievements, I sure as hell am not going to spend $170.
So, if that game was released for the PlayStation 3 at $100, would you have bought it? No achievements, remember?
Maybe. $100 is a good price.
I would have bought it for any system. Now, you have to also realize
that... I wouldn't buy it for the Wii.
That EA and Harmonix in particular are looking for Rock Band to be a system in and of itself that runs on another system. So you can buy, the way you would buy CDs or cartridges or DVDs for your other gaming systems, you would buy downloadable packs for their systems. So if you think about it that way, you're buying a $170 system console and then buying games for that console. That's the way they figured it would work. They've announced, you know, they've talked about their strategy, and that is their strategy. That's why it's so expensive. That's why you get all the peripherals, and that's why they're going to be releasing a lot of downloadable content. It's like buying games for your system. So what do you think about that?
Don't like it. If I got the CDs with them, then I would do it. If I could buy a CD or a DVD and CD combo that came with the song so I could actually listen to them on my own and get those, then that would be a good price. Then I could pay 99 cents or $2 a song.
I think you're asking for an unrealistic business. You know, business-wise, that's completely unrealistic.
I would like to point out Beatmania in Japan.
What songs do they use in Beatmania?
It's popular songs for Japan.
Now, those songs, a lot of them are also, Konami makes a lot of their own music for a lot of their Dance Dance Revolution, a lot of their Beatmania. They have in-house musicians that make their music. So these are like, you actually have Metallica, you actually have Nirvana, you actually have David Bowie.
Bowie.
Whatever. So... those guys are real artists that want real money for their real products and real songs. They're not all in-house. You can't expect them to give you for 99 cents a downloadable song, an MP3, the game, you know, all the song and a support for it. And all
I said
sort of
I
stuff.
Would pay $2.
Oh, $2.
I already said that.
Okay. I don't know. I think you're being
$20 for an album.
What do you think? Okay, forget about the price for a second. You've played the game at length at my place, right? For
yeah.
I would say probably a good
probably
6 to 8 hours.
More
probably.
Than that because of the last Friday.
Yeah. So what do you think? Let's forget completely about whether you purchased it, and let's forget about the price, and let's forget about download comment. Let's just focus on the game mechanics and the way the game works. What do you think about that?
It's a very much cleaned up version of Guitar Hero. It's... all of the graphics are better than Guitar Hero.
Absolutely.
It's just a cleaner version of Guitar Hero.
The presentation is just light years ahead of Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like people were complaining, not necessarily complaining, but noticing that the drummer in Guitar Hero. See, the first Guitar Hero and the second Guitar Hero, they were sort of the band members didn't really play. They sort of made playing motions, but they weren't really tuned into the song, right? The motions, the animations weren't.
Yeah.
But Guitar Hero 3... Neversoft did add that, but the problem is they're bad, especially like the drums, one of the worst ones. It looks like Chuck E. Cheese playing a drum, those old animatronic, you know, mechanical moving characters that just drum. It just looks really weird. And then you have stuff like it'll be a slow song and the people are moving and gyrating as if it's a really fast-paced song, like right when they're doing the really slow, maybe acoustic opening, and they're all like jamming out, and all the dancers are jamming out, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? This is a very slow part of a song.
But in Rock Band, they don't do
no,
that.
No, Rock Band, the animations are tremendous.
Even the stage lighting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. For Don't Get Fooled Again. Was that the song? They had the spotlights coming down on you in rhythm with the beat of the keyboard, and all, it was just really good.
It's like they would do at a concert.
Exactly. I mean, and just the animations of each of the individual characters looks really amazing.
I won't say it's a bad game. I cannot say it's a bad game.
What do you think about the drums? That's probably the biggest draw for Rock Band.
They're hard as fuck.
They are hard. But that's because you're not approximating drums. You really are drumming. It's not like a guitar where you have six strings and you know all the stuff and you're reducing it down to five fret buttons and a strum bar. This is like if you hear a snare, you need to hit the snare. If you hear the bass drum, you need to hit the kick pedal. You know, if you hear a hi-hat, you need to hit the hi-hat. And of course, the easier levels remove some of the things that you actually have to do and just stick to the bass notes or the bass sounds of the drums.
Right.
But once you get to hard and expert, you're literally just drumming, you know? And today I got a link from a friend of mine that sent me a link to a guy playing And Justice for All, an expert on the drum. And it was just insane, like watching this guy. Of course, the guy was an actual real life drummer.
Well, that makes sense. I mean,
but that just proves how close drumming is to real drumming, which is why medium for drums is really like hard on guitar, and hard is really like expert on guitar, and expert's just like its own league on its own. You know, it's just ridiculously difficult.
I will say that I don't like the fret buttons on the Rock Band guitars.
I don't like the new Rock Band guitar. I like the features on the guitar. I like that there are smaller fret buttons for leads that during solos, you actually don't have to hit the strum bar. You can just tap them. That's cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you don't have. You know how you get into that blue section, it says solo, and it gives you a percentage meter? If you just tap those little buttons, you never have to fret. So you can just finger tap the whole way through a solo.
Well, and that would have been nice to know.
And during the really difficult songs like Green Grass and High Tides, I had to use it. It was the only way I could get past that song. But the things let's go over things I do like about the Rock Band guitar. I like the look. It looks more like a real guitar and less like a toy.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's got the little, where normally you'd pick up you choose your pickups with that little adjuster lever. Mm-hmm. You can choose chorus and wah pedal and flanger and echo. So that's really cool. And that works during your energy power stage or your solos. So that's really cool. And then the other thing I like is the whammy bar. The whammy bar is way better.
It's bigger.
It's bigger, it's more solid, and it feels like it actually works the way it's supposed to. Guitar Hero 2 and 3 controllers for the 360 have had shitty whammy bars.
Agreed.
So that's better. I like the smaller solo fret buttons. That's really cool. Now, that's about where it ends. Things that I hate about the Rock Band guitar. In order to make it look more like a real guitar, instead of having buttons that stuck out from the fret, they're flush with the fret. So when you push down on the fret buttons, they actually go into the guitar as opposed to flush with the guitar.
And if you have big fingers or you want to tap the edge of it like you would have for Guitar Hero, you hit two buttons.
I just get lost. I get lost. Like, I can feel the buttons on the Guitar Hero guitars, but on the Strat on the Rock Band guitar, they're all smooth. So I get there's a little ridge on the outer edges of the five fret buttons. So you can kind of feel like if you passed it, sort of. But mm-hmm. most of the time, it doesn't even help me. If I lift my fingers and place them down, a good portion down the fret, bar or the fretboard, I miss a lot because I just don't have a feel for it. I mean, I've gotten better over time, but the feel isn't good. The other thing I hate is the strum bar itself. Lots of people have reported the strum bar starts failing on the down notes. And the very first time I ever saw this was about a week after the Rock Band demo was out at Best Buy. I went down there to check it out. And I played the drums. And, of course, they don't have the kick pedal there because they figured, it wouldn't last very long. So it's just the four drum pads on the demo. And then they have the guitar. So I tried the guitar. And I'm like, wow, it feels really squishy. It's a lot quieter. That's what's nice. I guess I like that. Strum bar is very quiet. Problem is, it wouldn't fret down at all. Or very sporadically. Intermittently, it would work down. So I had to play the whole song fretting up like a bass.
Which sucks for people like me who do some fret down and some up.
Right. So that's the very first time I saw it. And then my guitar, after about 10 hours of work, started doing the same thing. I had a friend of mine playing, and he was failing songs pretty quickly. And I'm like, dude, you know, he's a pretty decent guitarist, you know, Guitar Hero guitarist. And so I'm like, let me try it. So we switched, and sure enough, I started feeling like, what the fuck? And yep, the down fret, the strum bar wouldn't fret down anymore. So that was sort of disappointing. I took it back to GameStop. They were really hesitant about breaking up a brand new 360, you know, bundle for me to get me a new one, but they finally did. They gave me a new one, brought it home, and it worked. Then I found out that they were making a new batch of second generation guitars with that, which fixed that problem. So immediately I got online and ordered it. Even though my second one worked, I'm like, why am I going to get stuck with this one? It's going to break too. It's a first generation guitar. Mm-hmm. So they sent me a new one, and that's what I've been using now. So you got to actually use it last night. You know what you didn't tell me, and you probably didn't realize, is that I didn't actually use that new Rock Band, second generation Rock Band guitar until after you had left. And we'll go over why I had to replay everything. But they're really clicky. The fret buttons are really clicky. They're loud. You didn't notice that?
No, because you were blaring the stereo.
Well, I felt it instant. Like, I just felt they were really clicky. The original first generation Rock Band guitar wasn't as clicky. So that was another difference. I'm not sure if I like that or not.
Maybe I didn't play that with that guitar then, because I don't remember them clicking at all.
Yeah, they were really clicky. The fret buttons were.
Maybe Jasmine X was playing it, but.
Maybe. In any case, yeah, I think the game is incredible. I think they paid attention to the details, you know, and stuff like, the singer doesn't have anything to do. Well, how about having him, you know, tap on the microphone to do a tambourine or a cowbell during those long solo sessions? That was a really good touch. I didn't have to do that at all.
I think I need to voice a concern that I have about Rock Band that I danced around, but I didn't really say it.
What's that?
Well, I did start on it, but really, Rock Band 2 is not going to be forever. They're going to release shitloads of downloadable content.
I hope so.
That doesn't have achievements.
That's true.
So instead of getting a full-fledged game to continue the series, I'm going to download a whole bunch of tracks that don't do shit for me, other than to play them.
Other than to have fun with them.
Well, I don't see the point in playing by myself. So
yeah, Rock Band is a very party group game. It doesn't have to be. It's nice. Look at the depth that you can get out of this game. It's $170, right? But you get three peripherals, one of which isn't very expensive. Sure, it's a microphone. But the drums are very high quality. I have to admit, I was very impressed with the quality of the drums.
I didn't play them enough.
They're very sturdy. I expected them to be wobbly, and they work great. Kick pedal works great. They work great. And my little girl beats the crap out of those drums, and you know, they've held up fine. And we've played easily over 20 hours, and they're going great. I don't know how they'll be after 200 hours, but so far I've been really impressed. The guitar, not so good. I'd rather use the Guitar Hero 3 guitar, personally. I think that's the best guitar.
My two guitars still work fine.
Yeah. I don't really... If I had a choice, I would choose the Guitar Hero 3 guitar. I like it better.
Is that better than the 2 guitar?
Yes, I think so. It's got a longer strum bar, it's quieter strum bar, and it's wireless.
Can you get Rock Band standalone?
Yes, you can. In which case, you can get a USB mic and use your Guitar Hero 3 guitars, and you just don't get the drums. Which is the big draw, right? The drums,
right.
I think.
So what's the point?
If you don't have the money for it, and you just want to pay $60, and you have your Guitar Hero guitars, and you maybe have a USB mic. If not, you can buy a USB mic pretty cheaply.
Once they have third-party drums, mm-hmm. I'll probably pick those up in the game.
So anyway, it's a...
And that'll be worth my money way more than...
But check out all the modes it's got. You can play solo through the solo tour, and with that you can play as the drums, as the guitar, or as the vocalist. So that's three different ways you can go through it without actually repeating anything, other than the songs. I mean, you're repeating different tracks.
I don't see those as different modes.
You don't see them as different modes? Playing drums is completely different from singing is completely different from playing guitar.
Well, I don't see singing as its own mode, and I would never sing through the
There's
game.
There's a singing for Karaoke Revolution. It's all it is singing. It's basically that one component. That's all it is.
True.
And missing everything else. It's definitely its own game.
I understand that.
So there's those three modes, and then there's a world tour mode with your band, which you need at least two members, and I've had a rotating lineup for my band Cash, and... We finally got to the point where we could do the Hall of Fame last night, and you were over, and Jasmine X was over, and your kids, and we were playing, and I always log in as the guitar because it's always needed. Well, there's one time I fucking log in as the microphone.
Oops.
And nobody wants to fucking sing towards the end. So we're playing, and we get through the Hall of Fame thing, and we play through the eight song set.
They're eight marathon songs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Foreplay, Tom Sawyer, every song with four or five requiems.
Yeah, and Metallica, and it's basically the longest songs you can think of are in that.
The Who.
Yeah.
And I think they're all bands that are already in the Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaken.
They're Hall of Fame caliber. Except for maybe Iron Maiden. I fucking hate Iron Maiden.
You don't think Iron Maiden's in the Hall of Fame?
I hope not.
I hope they are.
I hate Iron Maiden.
Best poetry metal ever.
Oh, shut up. That's terrible. Anyway, so we get through the whole thing, and I see all these achievements start popping up for 100 Gs. I'm like, you know, you check yours. Y'all consider, did I get mine? Yeah, you got yours. And then, you know, the other two people are logging in as guest one and guest two. And then, so I check mine. I'm like, well, who the fuck's logged in as me? Nobody. So I didn't fucking get it.
You need to cue in the press your luck whammy sound.
But, so I was a little pissed off about that. Because really, we played 8 to 10 hours.
But do you have the achievement now?
This is what I did. So I go back to the Moscow, you know, level, and I check that Hall of Fame sub level, and I see it's already been done. And I'm like, motherfuckers. So now what do I have to do? Do I have to play through the whole goddamn game again get to that thing? So I'm like, well, there's only one way to find out is to actually play through it again. So I was like, well, maybe it'll let me play through as one player. Nope, you need at least two players. So my wife was about to go to bed, and I said, hey, I need a favor. She's like, what? Can you play any Guitar Hero instruments, or do you think you can play the drums? It's like, no. Like, can you sing? What songs are they? All songs that you don't know. She's like, I don't know. I guess I could try it. So we set it to medium, and I'm like, just try your best to get through these eight songs. I'm like, well, what are they? Boston, don't know it. Iron Maiden, don't know it. I'm like, wow, it's going to be hard. So then Deep Purple, I'm like, she's never heard Deep Purple in her life. Iron Maiden, probably never heard that ever. You know, and that Boston song, never.
You know, I'm the same age as your wife, and I've heard of all those songs.
She listens to crap.
Well, she's a girl.
She listens to absolute garbage. Okay,
and she's not a girl, she's a girly girl.
Yeah, exactly. She listens to pop and stupid poppy rap and just garbage. And I'll tell her, not actually, curiously enough, not the band garbage, but, you know, trash.
Because the band garbage is pretty awesome.
But anyway.
Not so much
reason. And again, this is not something I don't tell her to her face. She knows that I hate her music. But anyway, so she tries and she does an admirable job. And she gets through all the songs. So we're to like the fifth fucking song, right? And we're playing. I'm like, oh, man, I hope I fucking get it. We're on the fifth song. Middle of the fifth song. This menu pops up. I hit the green button because I'm playing fucking guitar. And it takes me back to the menu. I'm like, what the fuck? She was like, what's wrong? What happened? And I'm like, I don't know. It just, like, we were playing in the middle of a song. A menu popped up, which I couldn't tell what it said, except for the first option was continue. And I hit the green button on my guitar. And all of a sudden, we're in the main menu. I'm like,
oh, I wonder if you had disconnected from live.
No. You know what happened?
What?
The controller that was for the microphone had that little circle of running out of battery. Apparently, it ran out of battery and defaulted, or either if it didn't default, I strummed the bar in such a way that it went to exit game and hit enter in like in half a second. I'm like, God damn it, this fucking game doesn't want me to get this achievement. My wife was very tired before we started that. You know, we were halfway through our fifth song and the fucking controller wonks out in some weird way where I strum in a weird way, they hit green in a weird way that gets me out. And I was very pissed off, you know. And she was like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, do you want to go through it again? She was like, if you want to. So we went through it again. The good part is she had learned the songs a little bit better, but I mean, she had passed them the first time anyway. So we went through all the songs, all eight songs again, or the first five again, and then the last three. And I'm like, motherfucker, better give me my 100 achievement points. And sure enough, boop, comes up. I got him 100 achievement points.
Excellent.
But man, I would have been fucking furious if I had gone through that again for the third time. I would have been Mr. Furious. My power is that I can get really angry. And luckily I got that shit. And I'm like, after she went to bed, then I went and caused some more frustration for myself by doing that epilogue level of Call of Duty 4.
Oh, God.
For another hour and a half, and I got past that.
So I think you owe your wife like a present or something.
Yeah, I told her I owed her. I told her because, I mean, she helped me get through that. And she was a real trooper about it, too, because she didn't like any of those songs. It was like Molly Hatchet. What the fuck?
Exactly.
Who listens to Molly Hatchet?
Why? If you listen to Molly Hatchet and you don't kill and skin your own meat, I don't think that you exist.
She actually didn't do too badly at that song because it was pretty monotone. It's not like a real hard song to sing.
The South Will Never Die.
You know which one she failed on? The only of all the songs, the only one she failed on at all was Iron Maiden.
That's
Run to the Hills.
That's a weird song.
Yeah. So what I would
it's
do
an
is
awesome song.
I noticed recently, just very recently, that when a person fails, there's a timer. There's a timer on the left hand that goes down. It's red, and it goes down when it goes to the bottom. Then
yes.
I never noticed that before. I was wondering how long it would take for somebody to
that's
fail.
That's how long. And when I was saving people when we were doing those songs, that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. So to give them, buy them some time.
Yes.
So I started doing that. I was buying her some time. And we did get through the song. And anyway, the whole rock band thing came to a close, and now I'm happy again. But some of those achievements are ridiculous, like play through expert guitar 100%. Play through drum expert 100%, vocals expert 100%. Like, that's insane.
Those are not unreasonable achievements for the game.
I guess.
They're insane.
They're unreasonable for me.
You'll do them. Not so much the singing, though.
Or the drumming.
You can do it.
An expert 100%, not miss a single drum note.
On one song?
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah,
I can't do
you
it.
Can do it on Say It Ain't So.
No way. Towards the end, it gets kind of tricky there.
Okay, Radiohead. Creep.
I mean, not insane. It's possible, but...
You can do it.
Honestly,
don't
of all the times, of all the different people that we've
don't
played with,
pussy.
I think I'm the best drummer, the best guitarist, and maybe with the exception of Debbie, who's a pretty decent singer, probably the best singer, which is sad because I suck at singing.
What about John? John? No.
Hubie? At what?
Singing.
No, I think I'm better than he is, which is sad. No, I'm not saying...
to get through some of the songs where you know the words.
That is not to say that I'm a good singer. I'm going on record now saying I am not a good singer. I just happen to be, sadly, the best singer of the ones that we've had available to us.
I am easily the second best guitar player. Easily.
Yeah, I think you are.
But Jasmine X...
She picked up her.
Impressive.
She picked up her game. Yeah, for
she
for
went
bass.
From easy to hard and yeah. did a couple on expert.
Although Sabotage really kicked her ass.
Yeah, but she doesn't know the song. She doesn't like the Beastie Boys that much, and I think that's something where you have to have junk that's outside your body to
appreciate
like the Beastie Boys
and Tenacious D apparently.
And Tenacious.
Although
D.
my wife is a girly girl and she loves Tenacious D.
But
so I don't know what the deal is.
Does she really
there.
Love it, or does she love it because you love
no,
it?
No, she loves it. And one of her favorite songs is Fuck Her Gently, which she thinks is
that's
hilarious.
That's an awesome song.
She thinks it's hilarious.
But she's seen the video.
Yes, she's seen the video. And, I mean, that's not a typical song that you would think she would like.
You know, I wish
she thinks it's,
would
she thinks
take
it's,
that song to heart.
she
I
just,
get tired sometimes.
She just thinks it's funny. She thinks Tenacious D is really funny. And that's really...
That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. They're a pretty good, you know, band in and of itself, but the real draw is that they're funny. So anyway, she can appreciate it at least. So I'm grateful for that. But you know what they don't have? Didn't have any
Tenacious D.
Yeah, Tenacious D and the
if they come out
Spinal Tap
here. If they come
they
out with
a.
an album of Tenacious D, I will go out and buy the game that day.
I think you're safe. I don't think you have to buy that game.
Well, we should send the idea to EA. To ensure they never do.
Well,
it.
I'm sure that they're, you know, got their lineup already, at least for the first few months.
I mean, come on, Tenacious D. If they added a piano peripheral, I'm in.
Hey, you know,
if
they do play it out as a console, I don't see a reason why they can't add a keyboard.
And
you know?
If they can do a keytar, that's one better.
Well, here's the deal with the keyboard, though. Not every song has it, so you'd have a lot of songs where you just couldn't play it at all.
But, I mean, can you, the opening to foreplay?
Right,
oh,
but
man.
But think
oh,
of the
man.
But think about the number of songs that have keyboard versus the number that don't. But maybe 20% have
matter.
Keyboard.
If they release the keyboard, they would release it with an add-on disc.
No, I understand, but there'd be a lot of songs you couldn't play with the keyboard. I mean,
well, there's a lot of songs that have a keyboard and not a guitar and a bass. I think
keyboard and not a guitar and a bass.
But you know what? If they released a keyboard, you could probably sing and play the keyboard. You could be your own Elton John.
Well, I can sing and play guitar.
I've never seen you do that.
I can do that. Yes, you have. You see me do that. Not only that, but I've drummed and played and sung at the same time, a la the Romantics or Phil Collins in Genesis.
Phil Collins, pretty badass.
Yeah. So
he's a badass. So, I mean, not so good. I'm not a big fan of the music, but
no, I do admit
musically,
that
as an artist, he's a badass.
Have to admit that I will take it down a notch. I will sing in medium and play in medium or hard, depending on the song, for the guitar. If I'm playing drums and singing, I'll do medium and medium because it is a little difficult when I don't know the lyrics or the beat. I definitely don't have the beats memorized, you know. So I do have to kind of I have to glance up to the lyrics, and like, oh yeah, that's what it is, and know how the song goes to sing it, and then I look at either the guitar tap or the guitar dots or the drum dots. But I can do it.
You know what song I want?
What?
The opening song played in the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie. The one where he goes, "I will cut you with a linoleum knife."
What?
That when all the food is dancing.
Oh yeah, the real angry food. Yes. The concession stand food.
Yes.
Yeah. Or the Death Clock album.
Well, that's another one. If they release the Death Clock album, I'm in.
That's an. Have you listened to it?
Yeah.
It's fucking.
I can't listen to it at home because Jasmine X gets pissed.
Dude, yeah, I know she listens to this podcast, but. You really, Jasmine, this goes out to you. You really need to listen to, you know, Death Clock on not so much the black metalness, but on the how ridiculous the lyrics are in the cartoon itself. I have to admit,
she
if
can't
I didn't
watch the cartoon,
if I didn't watch the cartoon, I would not like the music. I'll be honest.
She can't watch the cartoon either. She's like, can you turn that off, please? And she will let me watch anything. I could watch hardcore porn in front of her, and she just doesn't care. But. I turn on the Metalocalypse.
But it's funny.
Unacceptable.
Oh, my God. It's so great. I love that show.
And you so know anyway. that one guy does all the instruments and all the vocals for that.
Yeah, yeah. Brendan Small. He's awesome. That guy's amazing. Maybe not in the part of Phil Collins, but he's still amazing.
He's figured out the special formula for death metal. It's like this. It's like the formula for Coke.
What's impressive is he does Nathan Explosion's voice and Squizgar's and Pickles.
Wow.
And he plays all the lead guitar. He plays all the guitar.
Yeah.
So he's actually playing like Squizgar.
He's the Trent Reznor of comedic death metal.
He's fucking amazing. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, props to Brendan Small. I'm sure he's not listening, but still, props out to him. So you know what? I'm going to do a wrap-up numerical review.
Actually, I still haven't talked about Mario Galaxy, motherfucker.
But no, we're going to talk about, but I'm saying for Rock Band and for Call of Duty. So I'm going to quickly break down. Actually, I like the letter grades. A minus, A, you know, B, F, whatever. So quickly for gameplay, since we were talking about Rock Band, I'll revisit Call of Duty in a second. Rock Band gameplay, I'm going to say A plus.
I'm going to say A minus, and it's because some of the songs are just fucking
no,
annoying.
But gameplay, that's well.
Are you kidding me?
Because there's the core gameplay design, and then there's.
Core gameplay design, I'd have to give it an A plus.
Yeah, okay. But okay, song selection. Then you would give it like a C.
I'd give it
or whatever.
A C.
I would give it
because the songs that are awesome, really awesome, but the songs that are bad are not. In Guitar Hero, the songs that I didn't like, were tolerable.
Uh-huh. Well, there's some songs I hate.
Are not tolerable.
I'm gonna give it a C for songs. I mean a B for song selection. You give it a C, I'll give it a B.
Yeah,
because there are definitely some things that I don't like in there.
And every time they release downloadable content in packs that doesn't add achievement points, it drops a letter grade.
So, okay.
Give me a big ass pack.
By the way,
achievement points.
Vagiant, greatest band name ever.
Vagiant? No, is it better than Miniature Donkey Punch?
Yeah, Vagiant, and that song 7 is pretty good too.
And
even though it's about
I'm
an angry woman
right
protecting
now.
her bitch boyfriend
by American copyright laws. I'm trademarking Miniature Donkey Punch.
Okay.
I want a quarter every time somebody says that name.
Okay. All right. So that's song selection. What about graphics?
A plus.
A minus.
Why the minus?
Because, you know, I don't think there weren't
enough hot chicks.
I don't like the fact that you couldn't customize your person enough. You know?
Well, okay.
like
I'll give you that.
It's very, very, the customization is very, you can't make it look like you. And I can sort of understand why, because it's sort of like a kind of a artistic look they're going for, not really a realism look. So, and also... this isn't really part of graphics or gameplay design or anything like that, but negative point someplace for not having Austin as part of a music scene.
Yeah, what the hell?
I don't know. I guess because they couldn't have any local artists, I mean, other than Stevie Ray Vaughan, Fabulous Thunderbirds.
I think Stevie Ray Vaughan's a little overrated. But Fabulous Thunderbirds, on the other hand.
Who else? I think Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson, they could have had not writers. What's the...
I don't know.
Cowboys in the Sky, Ghost Riders in the Sky. That's Willie Nelson.
But anyway, so,
or possibly Rainbows. Rainbows in.
So I guess, you know, we should have. I guess separate from sound selection, how do you think of the sound? The sound quality.
Perfect.
Yeah, I thought they took the master. I mean, when you
and when
don't
you
play
screw
drums
up,
I mean,
it doesn't the sound is not nearly as annoying as the screw-up sound and on Guitar Hero.
Yes, absolutely. It's a lot less... It's more subtle. And
But it, we can't give them too many points, because, I mean, they had Guitar Hero to play and figure out what people got pissed off about and fix it. Yeah. But Guitar Hero could have done that in Guitar Hero 3 and did.
Right. Well, they were following a formula.
Yeah, and but then, you can change and then the formula
slightly. Fun factor. Fun factor.
I'll give it a 4.
A 4 out of A, B, C, D, and F?
That's right.
I'm going to give it an A+. Definitely.
I'm going to give it a B+, because of the sets and World Tour mode that have songs that I hate.
Well, you don't have to play all the sets.
I love Sabotage.
We finished the game without playing all the
sets. I love the song Sabotage.
And it's in there.
But that is not a game that should be in there.
It's not a game that should be in there?
Or it's not a song that should be in that game.
Not only that, it's also in Guitar Hero. Isn't that weird?
No.
Like, I sort of agree that Sabotage isn't really a rock band type.
I mean, what's next? Brass Monkey?
I don't know. But anyway, it's in both Guitar Hero 3 and Rock Bands, curiously enough, Sabotage. And I agree, not really a rock song.
Are they going to have the saxophone on the mic if they do Brass Monkey?
I don't know.
I guess it's a saxophone.
So I give it an A+. Whatever. It's extremely fun. I'm looking forward to all the downloadable content, especially Nirvana's Nevermind and the Metallica album, whichever one they choose, except for if it's...
Saint Anger.
No, except for anything after...
The Black Album.
Actually, I don't really even like the Black Album that much.
Yeah. Anyway, anything after the Black Album. The Black Album would be acceptable, right?
Exactly. The Black Album would be acceptable. Anything after the Black Album would be garbage, and anything before Black Album would be awesome. Great. Appetite for Destruction, another great album I wish they would release.
Yes.
So, anyway, fuck the Who.
And if they can have some Richard Cheese on there, that'd be great.
All right. So, okay, and then real quickly, Call of Duty 4... gameplay, I'm going to give it an A. Graphics, F. A+. F. Sound design and Z. Sound, A+. Q. Great, great sound design. There's a lot of, you know, combat chatter. All the weapons sounded great. Helicopters sounded great. The 5.1 separation was awesome in my new system. It's 7.1, but 5.1 still sounds great. And I could tell where the chopper was from, you know, it was just good.
You know what game I could tell and where the chopper was? Dead Rising came out with the console. Well, not with the console.
Some games have better separation than others.
Dead Rising has awesome sound.
So, anyway, overall, I give Rock Band an A+, and Call of Duty an A+. Both of them are just amazing games. And, in fact, I think Rock Band's the number one game of the year, and Call of Duty's number two.
I think the number one game of the year...
And I haven't played Mass Effect, though.
...is Mario Galaxy.
The number one game of the year?
Let's
talk about
be.
Mario Galaxy, because I have a lot of negative things to say. So, you go first.
Well... I've been playing it. I don't know how many stars there are total, but it tells me I have 35 left, so I've got a shitload of stars. I've played the fuck out of it. It started out really easy, and I was getting pissed because it was too easy, but it ramped up like it should, and now the levels are a pain in the ass hard, and that's awesome. I love that. The use of the Wiimote is not gimmicky. It's great control of the Wiimote. The spherical levels I thought would piss me off. They're awesome.
They're horrible. Keep going.
Have you played?
No, I just looked at the box art.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
I thought that would be horrible, too, looking at the box art.
Yes, I but fucking then I played it. What played do you think? Go.
The sound is great. They bring back a lot of the old music, redone, and then, like, for power-ups, like, grabbing a whole bunch of notes that plays as you grab the notes.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. That's never been done before. What else?
It has been done before. By who?
Anything that's ever been music genre?
This is not a music game. This is not a music game.
Okay. Maybe it would be
everything I hated
was.
About Mario Sunshine isn't there. It's not boring and bland.
What, took out the water pack?
I hated Mario Sunshine.
I did too.
I love Mario 64.
I did too, and I never played it. No, I'm just kidding.
Your mom loved Mario Sunshine.
You are Mario Sunshine.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. Lenny, keep going.
It's just a good game. I don't like that the if you're playing on an HDTV, the cutscenes, which are supposed to blend in, are not as high res as the game itself.
Okay.
So I'm sure if you're on an SDTV, it wouldn't matter.
Way to go, Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo. Telling consumers what they want since 1982.
I thought Sony's taking over that crown.
Now they have, but, you know,
Nintendo's... You want Blu-ray. Anyway, so that's it. That's all I have to say about the greatest game of all time. Now, second greatest game of all time.
Greatest game of this year. Not the greatest.
It's not
game
even
of all
fucking
time.
Top fucking 10 of this year. That game.
You haven't even played it yet.
Yes, I have. I have the game.
Give it a chance.
The only reason that I bought that game is because I could get a $25 gift certificate back when I bought it. So I bought the game and I played it and it was garbagey. Actually, it wasn't garbagey. It was okay. It just, I don't understand why so many reviewers at one time, Game Rankings had it as the number one game of all time. Okay. This is the number one game. Basically, they're saying it's the greatest game ever made.
I would not say that.
That's what they were saying. Now it's the second greatest game ever made. Is it even the second greatest game ever made?
No.
No. Is it even the top 10 greatest game ever made?
No. If you love Mario, you'll fucking love Super Mario Galaxies. You'll shit one-ups if you like Mario.
I guess. But I don't know, dude.
And you can quote me on that. If you like Mario, you will shit one-ups.
Here's what they did. They took probably what I think may be the greatest game of all time, Super Mario 64. Okay, I think actually that may be deserving of the crown because that game was amazing. Now, if you take a game that's very innovative and extremely fun, well balanced, you know, and everything just falls in place and it's just superb, and then you make another iteration of that on the next generation of hardware, and then another iteration of that on the next generation of hardware, those no longer get to be the greatest games. Even though technically they are better, you're just copying the same shit over and over. So, In that case...
And that's how I feel about Call of Duty.
And that may be the case. I didn't say it was the greatest game of all time. I said it was the second best game released this year.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap.
No, it's not. Anyway, Mario, it's sort of the same thing. Mario Galaxy has sort of done the same thing Call of Duty has, right? They've taken the genre, rehashed it, made it better, and, you know, cleaned it up, and added some new things, new twists to it, right? That's sure. Pretty much what they did. Call of Duty is basically a first-person shooter, and Mario Galaxy is basically just a platformer, right?
Sure.
Are you just saying sure to be a dick, or do you really mean it?
I'm waiting for where you're going with this before I wholeheartedly agree or disagree.
Well, the thing is that I think Mario Galaxy is not even a step up. I think it's a step back.
Why?
Because they've taken the great level design of Mario 64, and they've condensed it on fucking spheres.
Except that not all levels are complete spheres.
I understand that they're not all complete spheres, but they've broken all levels down to small sections, small segments.
And I think that actually tightened up gameplay.
No. Look, running upside down is not my idea of fun.
Look, grabbing 8 fucking red coins in every level is not my idea of fun.
So then do it.
I have to complete everything.
Well, then why are you doing stuff that's not fun? Like, I didn't have a lot of fun replaying a level in Call of Duty 15 fucking times, but that's because it was on veteran difficulty.
Well, you must
I didn't have to play it on veteran difficulty, but you do have to get those 8 coins, or do you not? Is it optional?
No, not if you're a completionist.
That's lame. So why do you think that Mario Galaxy is better than Mario 64?
I like the level design.
The graphics? I'll give you the graphics. The graphics are better.
I like the level design better. It feels cleaner. It feels like they took... In Mario 64, you maybe like the open-endedness of it, but I think that they took the important...
It's not really open-ended. It's just a level.
Well, the levels were open in a way that you could do a whole bunch of different stuff at once. And I actually like that they closed it up and forced you to go down a path a little bit. More, it just feels tighter to play it that way. It feels like better design. Like they had a goal. Your path is this instead of Mario 64, where sometimes your path is something and sometimes you have to walk around.
Now, there was always a clear goal for each of the levels.
Well, right? But for the first couple stars, and then the other stars, you're just like, oh,
the great thing. See, this is why Mario 64 was so good. Is because it made it feel like you had an open level, but it really you didn't. You had a very distinct path that the developers wanted you to take, that the level designers made it in such a way where it gave you the feel of openness, but really there was a very distinct path you had to take.
Well, I feel like
and that's
still
a beautiful thing when you can make it feel open but actually keep them on a tight, you know, line of where you expect them to be going.
Well, I like the way it's done in Galaxy more than I did 64. I don't know what to tell you.
I think it's worse.
I think you need to play past the first planet, because I didn't like the first planet very much. Because I don't know why they're calling each little planet a galaxy, and I don't know. The first area, play past it. Try the second one. It gets a lot better from there.
I did play the second one. and it was not impressive. I don't see how people just jizz themselves over this game.
I don't see how people jizz themselves over repetitive first-person shooters.
I think Call of Duty 4 is probably the best first-person shooter, single-player-wise, I've ever played.
And Mario is the best platformer I've ever played.
Mario 64.
No.
No.
This has taken away that crown.
No, Mario Galaxy is retarded, man. It takes all the good parts of Mario 64, improves a few of them, and then takes them back.
I don't see what it took away.
Well, the biggest part is the level design is terrible.
I disagree. I think the level design's awesome.
What are you going to do? Be wrong, I guess.
Keep playing. Get all those stars. Finish her up. Play as Luigi.
I'm not going to play that game ever again. I'll tell you what. I will play through Mario Galaxy if you play through Call of Duty 4.
You provide Call of Duty 4.
I wanted to.
All right. Deal.
Okay. And then we'll see who has changed their mind more by
the end
of the game.
We'll probably both change our minds.
I guess. The difference here is you haven't played any Call of Duty 4. I have played two levels of Mario Galaxy.
The difference is that I've played all the other Call of Duties and hated them.
I've played all the other Super Mario Brothers. And I loved the first one. I didn't really think too much of Mario Sunshine. Again, more of the same shit. It's kind of like the same thing they did with Zelda, where Ocarina of Time was like really, really good. And then they did Majora's Mask, which is pretty much an add-on, right? It's a standalone add-on. Same engine. They just redid, you know. It was a new adventure with the same engine, right? Pretty much. I mean, there was new elements to it with the mask
anyway,
and stuff like that. And then they made Wind Waker. Again, the same fucking formula. New engine. New graphics engine. And then they did Twilight Princess. Same fucking formula. And people keep on jizzing all over. If Mario Galaxy was called Sonic Galaxy, do you really think it would be getting the scores it's getting?
Yeah.
No fucking way. If it was called Crash Galaxy, Crash Bandicoot Galaxy, do you think exact same fucking thing, and you fucking switch out all the sprites for Crash sprites, or models, no, I should say, not sprites,
Crash
models.
Crash is an ugly-ass game and has always been an ugly-ass game.
Everything else is the same. Just switch all the characters. I'll give you a choice. Sonic characters or Crash characters?
Art direction is part of your enjoyment of the game.
No. Everything's exactly the same. Just the models of the characters.
But it wouldn't be Mario.
Exactly. It would be a Crash game or a Sonic game.
But the gameplay wouldn't feel like Mario.
The gameplay would be identical. Do you think it would get the same scores it's getting?
I think that people would discount it, and a lot of people wouldn't play it while they do play Mario because it's Mario.
If Call of Duty 4 was called Generic Shooter 4... I would love it.
You
see, you're the opposite.
I hated Call of Duty 1, 2, and 3.
But Call of Duty...
What part don't you understand? I've been burned 3 times, so I'm going to obviously be upset
after
about
this podcast is over, you play 2 levels of Call of Duty. 2 levels. If you decide that it sucks so bad, you don't have to take it home with you. Well, actually, you can't because I'm still finishing up a few things.
Well, I'm not going to play it tonight, but I will
play
it.
No. You play... They're real short.
I don't have time.
Yeah, bullshit. Anyway... I don't know, man. I just don't see how Super Mario Brothers is... I think, you know, and it's going to make me sound a little first-person biased, but The Darkness, I had more fun playing.
The Darkness was awesome.
Than Mario Galaxy. Puzzle Quest was more fun than playing Mario Galaxy.
But how can you...
Phoenix Wright was more fun than playing Mario Galaxy.
They're entirely different types of
games. Let me look at my library here. What else came out? BioShock was more fun. Guitar Hero 3, Rock Band was more fun. Rainbow Six Vegas was more fun.
Rainbow Six Vegas was terrible.
No, that was good.
See, but that's just another thing where I don't see the appeal.
Heavenly Sword I thought was more fun, and people are going to give me shit for Heavenly Sword
a
being
lot
better
of
than Mario.
Give you shit.
But I was having more fun with that game.
Well, that's because you have the taste of an old man.
Fight Night Round 3, which wasn't even released. I'm just looking up my library.
Fight Night, on the other hand.
I'm just looking up.
Fight Night Round 3... was awesome and still is awesome.
I cannot wait
for Fight Night 4.
And it's not going to happen because the EA Chicago got disbanded. Remember?
Crap.
They got fired.
Well,
they got fired because of Def Jam.
That last game was terrible.
They
Def
got fired
because
of Def Jam.
Was garbage.
I don't know if
it was
garbage.
Total garbage. Not the one with Snoop Dogg, the one for the Xbox, but the last one that came out was total garbage.
Well, whatever. But, I mean, those are just few of the games that I played this year that were better than Mario Galaxy.
I disagree.
Which one of those games was not more fun than Mario Galaxy?
Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright wasn't?
It was almost there. It was great, but it wasn't Mario Galaxy.
No, it wasn't, thankfully. Otherwise, I would have probably hated it.
Maybe you just hate it because it has Mario in it.
What about Beautiful Katamari? If I hated it, I wouldn't have
Beautiful
bought
Katamari
it.
Was nowhere near as good as the second one.
Yeah, but still, in and of itself, Beautiful Katamari better than Mario Galaxy?
No.
No? I don't know. I had more fun with it.
They're close. They're close.
And that was a $40, you know, game for the Xbox 360, which was too short.
You know how much Mario
short,
Galaxy cost
short.
Me?
$25.
Nothing, because Jasmine X bought it.
Oh, it cost somebody something.
It didn't cost me shit.
It cost me $50,
and
but I got $25
gift certificate. So, I was thinking, man, this is going to suck balls. Maybe it's because I didn't expect anything of Mario Galaxy that I enjoy it so much.
I bought it because I expected it to be really good. That's why I bought it.
Well, maybe that's the difference. Whenever you expect a game to be totally awesome, you're always a little bit disappointed. You always think, well, this could have been better.
That's sort of the reason I haven't bought Assassin's Creed
when you
or
expect
Mass Effect.
A game to be crap.
Mass Effect is a game that I kind of avoided. My wife gave it to me.
As soon as my classes are over, I'm going to pick up Assassin's Creed.
I've just heard some bad things about both. Not necessarily that they're bad,
which is good because it's lowered my expectations, and I will enjoy them more.
They just promised so fucking much. Both of those games were like, it's going to be this, and it's going to be open ended, and it's going to have all this awesome exploration and great gameplay.
The less you know about a game before you play it, the less you expect out of it, the better it is.
And then, and you know, people started playing them, and reviewers started coming in, and forum posts started coming up, and they're like, you know, this isn't what they said it was going to be. This is just such and such is Prince of Persia with less gameplay and more exploration. Not even more exploration, but a bigger, livelier world.
Sounds good to me.
Or Mass Effect is a conversation simulator with a little bit of FPS and a tad of RPG thrown in.
So it's like Final Fantasy.
Except for better. Conversation-wise.
Because you can actually choose real options.
Right, and the conversation engine is probably the biggest draw for Mass Effect.
Oh, here's a game that I forgot to talk about. Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings.
Well, it's not forgot. We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there?
No. We've been talking about the games that we've been playing.
You haven't played Mass Effect yet.
No. Those are a list of new games. These are the games that we've been talking about up here. See? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's drop this whole thing and move on to the new games that were released. Not necessarily new.
Well, let's talk about Final Fantasy XII first.
All right, that's fine. That's on my DS list here.
So over Thanksgiving, I went with Jasmine X to visit her grandmother, who is in amazing condition, who's 75 and still drinks Milwaukee's Best.
Very nice.
And I hope that I'm in that good condition when I'm 75.
Maybe if you drink Milwaukee's Beast, you will be.
Well, I'll probably be skinnier because I'll be vomiting a lot.
Okay, then.
So I didn't have anything to do. She doesn't have internet. I don't like to watch TV. She's a big fan of the Lifetime Network. I'm not such
a
big fan.
Very nice.
So
my wife loves that.
I played a lot of Revenant Wings. In 3 days...
Well, first of all, it's Revenant.
Whatever. In 3 days...
David Bowie.
I played 64% through the game, because on your save screen it tells you how far you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how much of the game I played. Every level was doing the same damn thing with very unimaginative, uninventive.
See, that's what I keep hearing about Assassin's Creed. That's why I'm afraid to play it. Play it.
I didn't expect anything of Revenant Wings, but I expected it to be almost at least as good as Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. Not Final Fantasy Tactics.
So this is a tactical game?
Yes, but the tactics suck. It's
so,
not turn-based.
So it's like
this
Gaia and Tactics, but worse. Final Fantasy Tactics.
But it's real-time strategy, not turn-based.
So it's not an RPG at all?
No, it is an RPG.
Okay.
You still put equipment on your guys, but you don't influence what abilities they get. It's all chosen for you. And then you set up gambits that they attack over and over again, so all you do the whole time is direct your characters at different areas. That's all you do the whole time.
Are gambits those scripts things that
you
do?
Yeah. But all you do is direct your character at something, and they do the same ability over and over and over and over again.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah.
You play 2/3 through this game?
Yeah. That's how bored I was at Thanksgiving.
If you had to give me a recommendation, would you?
Do I like you?
Say you like this person.
No, I would not recommend this game. If I disliked you and I hoped that you went to a circle of hell when you die where it's boring tedium and you repeat things over and over and over again with no change, then I'd recommend Final Fantasy XII.
Okay.
I don't know what review is it's got. I didn't look it up. Have you seen them?
Mm-mm.
They can't possibly be good. If they're good, I don't know what to say to those.
Well, have you played any of these other DS games? There's quite a few here, and I've only noted some of them.
Judy is playing the crap out of Phantom Hourglass.
Oh, right.
Or Jasmine X is playing.
That's the one we talked about last time that we hadn't played at all.
Yeah. She's playing the crap out of it. She's stuck in one dungeon. She is so pissed off that she is stuck this morning. She nearly threw her DS. Then her laptop wouldn't connect to the internet, so she'd look up a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. She got pissed. She was like, why the fuck won't you connect? And I was like, what's wrong, honey? And she gets her laptop. She says, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she pokes me with her laptop. Why don't you use this damn thing? And then I looked at her like I was going to beat her. And she went and cleaned the house for a couple hours to get rid of her frustration.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome for me. Well, I just played some more Super Mario Galaxy.
You have Galaxies. How about Geometry War Galaxies?
I already own Geometry Wars. Why do I need to play Geometry War Galaxies?
I don't know.
And why do I need to pay what? $40? $50?
I have no idea. For the DS? I don't know. It's also out for the Wii.
Yeah, I was thinking that's what we were talking about.
No, we're looking at the DS section there. See that?
Geometry Wars Galaxies. Yeah. I see.
I know the Wii had some requisite motion controls in there.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know how the Galaxies one works with the DS. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing here. Maybe you point the way you want to shoot and use the other, the
that would make me digital really stick. Upset.
I don't know. I don't know how it works, to be honest. I know that I don't plan on buying it.
Nope.
Okay. We also have Mario Party DS.
Have you played that?
No, have you?
No.
Okay, moving on. Contra 4. I heard it was really hard. That's all I know about it.
So it's Contra on the DS. And it's really hard.
Contra is always the classic Contras are always about memorization, right? Memorization of where they're going to shoot their bullets and where you jump and where you crouch. And
it's trial and error, much like Call of Duty 4, from what you're telling me.
No, no. That's only on veteran level. But yeah, I guess sort of on veteran level. Cookie and Mama 2?
Why? Why is this a game?
Semi-popular first.
That's like first dog generation. Washing Mama 2.
Okay, moving on. Why? Dragon Quest Monsters Joker.
Is that made by that one Tose? Shadow company?
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing because I know Slime, the Rocket Slime one was, and that was supposed to be really good. So I don't know. I didn't look it up.
I might check it out, but I hated Dragon Quest for the PS2, the last one that came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, the PSP and PS2 ones should be easy to do. For PS2, I have a bunch of crap, and for the PSP, I have garbage.
Did Rock Band come out for the PS2?
I don't know. I know it was due in mid-December.
It didn't come out for the Wii, did it?
No. It was due for the PS2 in mid-December sometime. I think the big thing with Rock Band is that it needs to have downloadable content, since that's part of their whole strategy, is to make it a console with downloadable games.
The Wii could do that.
I think that's why they delayed the PS2 one. That's just my guess. I don't know. But the PS2 one is due sometime in December here, so if it's not out, I think it's like the 12th or something like that.
Is it going to be $160?
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give you a $10 discount for being on the PS2. Oh, $160 instead of $170. I gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. It might be. It might be $10 cheaper. But yeah, I looked at all the PS2 releases, and man, there were some weeks where they had none. And then there were some where all of them were like just ports of multi.
You've got two games on there that I want to play, and badly.
Where, on the PS2?
Yeah, or on the PS3.
No, the PS2. The PS3 actually has quite a few new releases. Time Crisis 4.
Which, for some reason, they're not going to sell a second gun. They just want you to buy two copies of the game.
But here's the good part about that. The game is getting terrible reviews.
Is it?
Yeah.
And how are the other Time Crises?
And it's
Time Crises?
Time Crises.
Time Crisi.
And it's releasing for, I think, $90 is the MSRP.
That's it.
And
$30 for the gun.
The thing is, I've already seen it multiple places online for $50 brand new already with the gun. So if you think about it, how much would the gun cost you? About $50 for a new PS3 controller?
Yeah.
Maybe $40 if you were lucky. So really, it's like you're buying just another. The knock on it was that if you wanted to play two-player, you had to buy two versions of Time Crisis 4 because they don't sell the gun separately. But it's already being discounted down to $50.
That's not so bad.
How good could it be? And two, you can buy two of them for $100.
But I mean, it's Time Crisis 4, right? Just like the arcade one that's been out for a while.
If you bought two of them at $50, it's cheaper than if you had bought one at $90 and then an extra gun.
Yes.
So There, don't whine about it.
How bad could it be? It's Time Crisis. Apparently,
it's its biggest flaw is that it has first person shooter levels, in which case it has controls where you do first person movement and then you use your gun to shoot.
I've seen that on the gun. I've seen what the gun looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that could be too bad.
Well, that's the biggest knock. I mean, those levels are terrible.
You're using your thumb for that joystick just like you normally would. It's not like they're making you do it with, like, your pinky.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah,
that sounds like a pansy complaint.
For 40, I have a feeling this game is going to be bargain basement like Taiko Drummaster and Beatmania. That's going to be dropping very quickly.
But still be awesome and nobody buys it because it got bad reviews like Taiko Drummaster?
Taiko Drummaster didn't get bad reviews. I think it just didn't get good. The public just didn't really think too much of it.
They didn't play the online. All the reviews should have just included the opening announcement. Taiko Drummaster. That's all they need to do.
That'll sell to Joe Public at Walmart. That won't work. So there's Time Crisis 4. Orange Box is finally coming out for the PS3. There was some initial concern that it was going to have terrible frame rates for the Half-Life 2 content, not the Portal content. But, you know, the Portal content, even though it might be in a newer engine, and I think the Episode 2, because the Portal is not really that graphically demanding. It's pretty sparse. Rooms,
you know? Small rooms, really.
Yeah, small
rooms.
Sparse rooms. So whatever, but the apparently the what is it? The Episode 2 portion of Half-Life 2 also ran okay, but Episode 1 and Half-Life 2 were having a lot of frame rate issues, which is pretty sad. I mean, PlayStation 3 is supposed to be the super powerful mega machine, and granted, it's not Valve that's doing these ports, but still.
Plus, they're PC-based ports.
Yeah, but it runs fine on the 360. Hell, the Half-Life 2 ran on the fucking Xbox.
Well, I'm thinking that they...
Xbox One.
They purposefully made the development kit easy to port PC games for the 360. Yeah, I mean, they are Microsoft after all.
Being Microsoft and owning Windows.
Yeah, there's that whole thing.
All right, and the other PS3 game that's releasing soon. I say soon because I'm not even sure it's releasing this week, is Unreal Tournament 3. Now, that came out for the PC a couple weeks ago.
And has gotten amazing reviews, especially graphically.
Yeah, I bought all the other UTs on the day of release, and this one just went on by. I didn't even realize it was coming out.
I really want it, but I don't have a system. I don't have a power system to run it.
Oh, I can run it just fine. It just didn't want to pick it up for some reason. I'm just kind of done with console. I mean, with first person shooters on the PC, especially unless they're called Quake. So,
did you buy Enemy Territory?
No, I was gonna say that one didn't count because that was Enemy Territory. That wasn't a Quake game. So maybe the next id Software game, the actual true id Software game, not...
I'm not sure Enemy Territories was an id Software
game. No, it wasn't. That wasn't. That's what I'm saying. The next true id Software game I'll buy. But yeah, great respect for Epic. They've made a great series. Unreal Tournament is a very good series. I'm just kind of done with Unreal.
I really like Unreal. I've never liked any series more than Unreal, including Quake. I mean,
There's no accounting for taste.
I didn't spend a lot of time playing the original Unreal Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I spent most of my time starting on 2003.
I bought every single Unreal game, including the original Unreal, except for Unreal 2. That was a story-based game.
Unreal 2 I played at work because we were benchmarking it.
Every Unreal Tournament I bought on the day of release, except for Unreal 3. I don't know why. I have the system that could run it.
You should buy it. You should at least download the demo.
I guess. I'm sure it'll be fine and all that, but I'm like, you know, kind of really.
They let you use a mouse and keyboard on the PS3.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
They
won't be cross-platform playable, though.
If you buy it for the PS3, I'll buy it.
I might buy it for the PS3, even though I can play it just fine on my PC. At least you can use mouse and keyboard. That's a big, big, big step up. So that's good. So yeah, that's out. And then, so we got the Orange Box, Time Crisis, UT3. And I'm not even sure if that's out. I think the GameSpot said it was coming out, but... I don't know. I've heard there's some issues with that. UT3 for the PS3. So what else? The Wii. We already talked about Mario Galaxy. Link's Crossbow Training with the Wii Zapper.
Don't care.
Could not care less. It's a plastic peripheral.
Why does it not come with Duck Hunt
Wii? It's terrible. It looks terrible. Puzzle Quest Challenge of the Warlords.
It's awesome on Xbox Live for $12 or whatever it is.
Yeah, you can buy it for more for the Wii.
Oh, and with shittier graphics. And no achievements.
There you go. Huh. Geometry War Galaxies and Rayman Raving Rabbids 2.
Now, I'm sure the Jasmine X is going to pick that up because I love playing that game. She loves playing it. Her kids love playing it. It's mini games, but they're really, really well done.
Yeah, I had a pretty good time with the first one.
Raven Rabbids would be less well done.
Okay, moving on. PC, we got Crysis and UT3, which I talked a little bit about UT3. Crysis, I played the demo, was like, eh.
It's just like Far Cry. Really pretty, really boring.
Yeah, it got really great reviews too, but I'm like, eh. Obviously, I don't go with really great reviews all the time because I really hated Mario Galaxy.
You'd get burned a lot if you always went with really great reviews.
Yeah, and some of the other games that I like Coldcept, you know, I really like Coldcept, didn't really do too well critically.
But did well in Japan.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think there was even a sequel, right?
I don't know. Was there?
I think there was a sequel on the PS2. Not sure. Don't quote me.
Well, Coldcept Saga is definitely a sequel. I don't know if there was anything else other than that one. But I'm trying to think. Is there any game that I really like that's really critically panned? Like, I mean, they just thought it was horrible. Oh, I can think of one. For the original Xbox, Blood Wake. Did you ever play that?
What's that?
Blood Wake is like a... you were on a boat, like a speedboat type thing that had weapons on it.
It's Spy Hunter, but on a boat?
Yeah, but, you know, it's in water, so...
Oh, it's Spy Hunter had boating levels.
Yeah, it did. But it's sort of... kind of like Twisted Metal-ish, I guess, kind of.
Is it like...
But they're levels.
Is it like Hydro Thunder with weapons? Because I love Hydro Thunder.
There was a couple of race levels, but it wasn't really racing. It was kind of, I guess, a first-person shooter on water. I guess it's kind of like what it was. Instead of a...
First vehicle shooter on water.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. And that was really panned by the critics, and I loved that game.
Been done before on the Atari Tank Battle.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess like Atari Battle Zone on water. That's what it was more like, but faster paced.
And on water.
That's probably the worst game that, you know, critically, you know, reviewed worst game that I really liked. How about you? Any game that was just terrible that you just liked?
Was Parasite Eve well reviewed?
No.
I loved Parasite Eve.
Really? Yeah, that was one of the ones that...
Star Wars Masters of Terra Sky.
You know, I have another friend who sometimes listens to this podcast, and he loved that fucking game.
I did too.
And that was another one that was like, yeah, this game's terrible.
It
guys.
Had unbreakable combos.
Unbreakable condoms?
Those are an awesome thing, but this had unbreakable combos that you could completely annihilate somebody with.
That sounds like a great game right there. Going back to our list here. Xbox 360, I only have one game that's exclusive, and that's Mass Effect. And I haven't played it yet. I have it. My wife gave it to me just yesterday, so I plan to play that a lot this week.
In probably the podcast after next, I'll have a full review of Assassin's Creed.
I have lowered my expectations of both Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed by a lot.
Because you shouldn't. You should play the fucking game. Don't care about the hype.
Well, they just promised a lot. They promised a lot, and I think they underdelivered.
I think that as gaming becomes more
and
more
mainstream
media...
We should call it the Peter Molyneux, or the Fable. They fabled it.
As games become more and more mainstream, uh-huh. They're going to hype it more and more and deliver less and less. It's going to be just like movies.
Well, BioShock delivered everything. They promised exactly what
open-ended
they delivered.
Open-ended my ass.
They never said that was open-ended.
Yes,
they never said it was open-ended. I never got the impression that BioShock was supposed to be an open-ended game. Assassin's Creed, yes, but not BioShock. BioShock, I expected exactly what I got, and I was not disappointed in the least.
All right. Whatever.
BioShock's probably the third best game released this year, I think. What do you think? No?
It's in my top 10.
Yeah, it's really good. And then we got all the multis.
Which they released free downloadable content for.
You talked the shit out of the Simpsons game.
Never bought it.
Did you even fucking play it?
No, I've got a $12 deposit on it at GameStop. That I
you
never went
talked
and cashed
all in. Kinds of shit about the Simpsons game, and then you didn't fucking even buy it.
Well, Jasmine X was supposed to buy it for me for my birthday, but never did.
So I've read some so-so reviews on it. I don't know.
I love the Simpsons. I'm going to pick it up. I will pick it up and play it.
That's another game that... See, this game, I can understand. Okay, like a game like Mario, you can swap out the models. Not too much of a difference. You can say, what, the Mario Mystique? The Mario Universe? Who cares? You know, Sega's got the same shit with Sonic. It just happens to be different characters. No, but you take something like the Simpsons, and that completely changes the games. You swap out the Simpsons characters with Mario characters, it's not the same. Simpsons have their own brand of humor.
And it's an awesome brand of humor.
Right.
And to this day, it's what?
So that's a game. That's a game where the property itself lends a lot to the strength of the game, meaning a lot of the humor, a lot of the story, a lot of the characters and stuff like that. Whereas going back to Mario Galaxy, you can replace that fucker with any 3D model. And you change the name, get ready to lose 2 points in a review. At least 1 point.
I don't know. You've been taking those game design classes. Let's see it. Strip it out.
Yeah.
Put in some Atari sprites. 3D Atari sprites.
And what else we got? Assassin's Creed for the PlayStation 3.
Tron Galaxy. That's what I want to see.
Lego Star Wars, A Complete Saga, which is pretty gay.
I will probably pick that up.
That's pretty gay. It's just the first two games
combined into
one.
But I didn't play the first two games. Well, I played a little
bit of
them.
I guess it's okay for you.
It's $30, right?
No, it's $50.
Oh, it's $50. They had said it was going to be a value title when they announced it.
And maybe they fabled it up. Or they Assassin's Creed'd it. Or Jade Raymond did.
Wow. Jade Raymond did? They photoshopped pictures of the Lego characters naked? What?
Do you see that cartoon? She was all butthurt about that? Or was butthurt, either her company or somebody?
Unimportant.
Yeah. Well, that was still funny. Black Site Area 51, which is actually made here in Austin.
Total crap from what I've heard.
Yeah, I have a friend who I actually work with now, a coworker, that worked at Midway Austin for the original Area 51. He left them.
Which I really liked. I played
and,
the crap out of it.
So he read up about how, you'd read about how the developer, one of the developers was, I think it was a lead designer or something, I don't remember what he was, said basically the whole project was fucked from the beginning.
Yes.
and my friend read it, and he said, yeah, it's pretty much right. I think he was talking about something about that they had tried to take the technology and kind of propagated across all the different properties, and that caused problems because they needed something changed, and they would lose their priority because they wanted to change Mate to an engine. They're like, well, it's not the priority. So basically, what they were doing is taking technology, have a technology team that provided the technology to all the different game developers or the different teams that were making different games. So they were working maybe the gaming engine, the graphics engine for rendering, the graphics, and they were providing it for four different teams. And the Area 51 team would be like, well, we need, this and this for our engine. And they're like, we'll put it on our list. As opposed to having a graphic guy just working with them. You know what I mean?
They should each have had their own contacts, yes.
Right. And instead, they try to genericize? I don't think that's a word. They try to...
generalize.
Yeah, I guess. The whole process and make like a hub of technology. And that didn't really work too well. So
they EA'd it.
That's sort of what I understood. Right. I didn't really read the article.
It's Midway and EA or not?
My friend
just
worked
Midway
there.
By
so.
Themselves.
Midway. By themselves. I think it's Midway. Yeah, Midway is the publisher. And the developer in this case, but Midway Austin. So, and then the Kane and Lynch Dead Men, which caused all kinds of controversy up on GameStop. Do you follow all that shit?
GameSpot.
What did I say? GameStop?
Yes.
Yeah, GameSpot.
I did follow all of it. And all I can say is...
So what do you think? I mean, they keep denying it, saying he wasn't.
GameSpot, they make money. They make money from advertisers. They want you to inflate the reviews of advertisers. Here's a newsflash. I've said it before. They're a fucking business.
Right, but isn't their business to inform their customers?
No, their business is to make money.
And how do they make money? By selling advertising. And how do they get people to pay more money for advertising?
They give their games good reviews.
No. That's not true. I could give fucking all games 11s. Right now. I could start up a website. Are they going to pay me $100,000 to do that? No. I don't get any fucking readers.
GameSpot has never been a good site for reviews.
No. Yes, they were. Well, okay. I always went to GameSpot.
They haven't been a good site in the last 2 years.
No, I disagree. But listen to my point here. It's not, they don't go there for the reviews. They go there because of their readers. If you have a big installed readership, right? If you have 200,000 people coming to you a day, let's just say, unique hits, right? Then they're going to pay X amount for advertising because you're advertising to so many people. If you have a site that gets 1 million hits a day, it's going to cost you more, right?
Yeah.
It's like advertising on a popular show as opposed to an unpopular show.
Right? I understand where you're going
okay.
with this.
Okay. So... If how do you get all these readers with the content, right? The TV show's got to be good to bring people to fucking see it, right?
Right.
Now, the problem with TV is it's purely entertainment, right?
Games are purely entertainment.
I understand. But their business is not games. Their business is reporting on games and giving reviews to their readers. Now, I rely on GameSpot and other IGN and 1UP and all these other people to review games. And I don't particularly just pick one, like just trust IGN or just trust GameStop. I usually, you know, get the Metacritic or the game ranking score, which sums it up nicely, right? It's generally a pretty good indicator for the most part. But in reality, the quality of the writing is what draws me to one over another place, right? I'll go visit GameSpot site over, say, 1UP site if I like the writing or the style or the way they review.
I'm at the point when it comes to game reviews that I don't even read mainstream game reviews. I read individuals in different forums. I don't read that crap.
I do, because they have a lot of insight to details.
They do, but you know what? They also have a responsibility to their advertisers.
See, they're not supposed to.
Well, I don't live in a world of supposed to. Let me finish. I live in a world of reality.
Well, if that was reality,
when somebody gives you money for something, you have a responsibility.
If that was reality, then why did Jeff Gerstmann stay there for? So let me sum up for people that don't know what's going on. People maybe that didn't follow this whole thing. Jeff Gerstmann was a head editor at GameSpot, a website that does reviews, previews, you know, features and stuff on video games. Basically, a game news site. And one of the biggest draws is the reviews. And they do video reviews, and I like the way they're done. Their production values are nice. I like the way their viewers review the games. I like their system, and generally I would go to them more than others. Now, Jeff Gerstmann was a senior editor there. He was there for over 10 years. I think he was there 11 years. Mm-hmm. And he did a review of this game called Kane and Lynch Dead Men. And at the time that the review was released, the publishers of Kane and Lynch Deadman, who was it, Eidos? Yeah, it's Eidos.
Yeah.
Yeah. They bought a shitload of advertising for that game on GameSpot. Well, then the review came out and gave it a 6, and he panned it in their video review. So they pulled the video review off. They removed the video review. That's a little sketchy in itself. And they leave the text review up. But then all of a sudden, Jeff Gerstmann's out of a job. He'd been their very well-respected editor, been there for a very long time. Next day or a few days later, he's gone. You know, so is it a coincidence? You know,
absolutely not.
And also, Eidos apparently pulled out $100,000 at least. That's what I hear, $100,000 or more, of advertising for future games from GameSpot because they were pissed off that they put all this money into this game. And then the review on that same site basically panned the game. So then you got to start questioning the integrity of the site.
Well, there is no integrity once they accept money from video game advertisers.
Now, the other thing that GameSpot does is they have paid subscribers. You can go to GameSpot and get a lot of shit for free, but you can also pay for premium membership, pay for high definition videos and just extra content.
High definition walkthroughs and all.
Yeah, it's just extra content, extra features and content and whatnot. Well, a lot of people got pissed off that this happened. And while Jeff Gerstmann wasn't allowed to talk about why he got fired, and that's another reason that you started to, you know, what's going on there, you made him sign a contract. You know, he got a severance package and saying he couldn't talk about why he got fired.
Yep.
The video review got pulled. He got a bad score. You know, all the same. It just, if you just fucking do the math, you can tell something went down with him, you know.
So this is the way I see it. They either have a no retract policy with the advertisers and get advertising money, or they stick to subscribers. And I'm sorry, but
they lost a shitload of subscribers.
They can't accept the money from a publisher and remain neutral. You can't.
Another thing you can do on that site on GameSpot is you can submit reader reviews. So many people got pissed off about the reviews of what happened with Jeff Gerstmann is that everybody started going writing reader reviews and giving it a 1. Hundreds of people would go in there, give it a 1 and a 1 to lower the score even further of their reader reviews. It got down to 2.6 out of 10.
Did they shut it down?
And then they shut it down. They wouldn't let you do anymore because everybody would write, you know, I can't believe you fired Jeff Gerstmann for this, blah, 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 you know, support for Jeff. This game sucks. 1, 1, 1 over and over. People saying, I'm canceling my GameSpot premium subscription. I'm canceling subscription canceled, subscription
canceled. They ruined
their brand. Subscription canceled. 1, 1, 1, subscription canceled. So they just finally just said no more. And they got rid of the video. They got rid of all that stuff. They really shot themselves in the nuts.
Well, I mean, I am not happy with it.
And if they didn't do it, whoever was responsible, there's fingers been pointed to CNET, the parent company.
Yeah.
And that may have been the case. May not have been anybody at
GameSpot.
You already
can't trust CNET's technology reviews.
Well, there you go.
What do you expect?
But the point is, you fucked yourself over for $100,000 of advertising long term.
Short term. But in the long term.
But you fucked yourself over long term, over $100,000 of advertising short term, right? And you basically said, pretty much, you know, all the people that came here looking for honest reviews don't come here anymore because we're not going to give you one. We'll only give you one if, you know, we get paid. If we don't get a big chunk of, you know, money from this advertiser, okay, maybe we'll give them an honest review. But if they pay us a lot of money, you know, we're pressured. And GameSpot's not the only one. I've heard stories about IGN.
Yeah.
Where they wanted, you know, in order to get stuff like exclusive review before anybody else. So, you know, like they would have to guarantee a certain level of score, you know, in the 8 or 9 range in order to get us exclusive review rights. So, and then same thing with covers. You know, I've seen some really dubious covers for Game Informer. You're like, how in the fuck did that game make the cover? You know?
Yeah.
You know what last month's was for Game Informer? Do you get Game Informer?
Ghostbusters.
What the fuck?
You're not all about Ghostbusters?
I love Ghostbusters, but
I do too.
Ghostbusters being on the cover all by itself, nothing else is on the cover but the Ghostbusters logo.
You don't think
logo.
That the people that are working there might possibly be all load. About Ghostbusters?
No.
People
Although I gotta admit, the game looks pretty sweet. Did you read the article?
I did.
It looks pretty sweet, and I have high hopes for it. But at the same time, Ghostbusters, Holiday 2000, it didn't even come out till Holiday 2008.
Yeah, so? So
that
then
make any
it's
sense.
Even misplaced. Maybe they didn't have any good thing good to put on there.
They have nothing to put on there. Nothing in this
Mass Effect already had a cover. What's the other one? Assassin's Creed already had a cover.
Rock Band already had a cover?
Wasn't Rock Band. It was the Tenacious D one.
What about Uncharted? Oh, that's Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
Uncharted EU, there's no reason to give that a cover.
Well, but Ghostbusters, again, it's over a year away, gets a cover.
It's what if Ghostbusters.
What if Ghostbusters ends up sucking bad?
Oh, well.
They at least they made their money from selling the cover.
Right.
I guarantee you they fucking sell covers in Game Informer.
So?
That's so. I'm just
telling
you.
I don't look at Game Informer for the reviews or the articles.
I look at game reviews in general. Overall, big picture. Not specific ones. Although I did like this. I do like specific styles of reviewing. You know? Maybe they touch on certain things I like or break down things in a certain way. I like that GameSpot now has those little demerits or like little achievements or whatever they're called. Like they say, outstanding story achievement or, you know, the graphics are broken demerit or too short or, you know.
No.
More than some. You ever seen those little things?
I don't.
They're
I told
awesome.
You. I
love those
forums.
Things.
I look at individual forum reviews.
I don't think you can look at any one source. If you look at any
Different
one source.
Different forums. But
it doesn't matter.
I look at individual reviews and not game reviews.
Because at forums you can fucking run into Joe Schmo, idiot boy. Fanboy
yeah,
extraordinaire.
But you can tell by the way they're writing whether or not they're
Can't
worth...
you just tell the same thing from reviewers?
No,
by the way they're writing?
I don't know that they're not full of shit.
I don't know, man. I've seen some pretty horrible reviews online.
I don't trust any site that accepts advertising money for a game
what
to
about
be
game,
objective.
What about game rankings or Metacritic?
Game rankings I look at, and I click through. I usually pick the best reviews and the worst reviews to look at.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think overall,
I want to see what people liked
people,
and what they hated.
Enough people can get a review in on a game where something like Game Rankings or Metacritic, which both takes multiple reviews and gives it an aggregate score, that's a pretty good indicator. Anything 80 or above generally is pretty good. And you know, then you start languishing
the
into 70s, the
if
media,
you're a
mediocrity,
big fan of the genre.
Yeah, something like that. But overall, I mean, and the bad part is that Kanan Lynch was getting about sixes all across the board everywhere. But Jeff Gerstmann got the axe because GameSpot was getting a big, you know, shitload of bucks for it. Whatever.
Getting a big load
whatever.
Of bucks.
And so it's a pretty sad deal. And right now, I think Jeff Gerstmann could start his own website right now, bring in his own people, and he would get like tons of respect, and people would trust him. He was willing to lose his job.
On the subject of CNET, they had an article about Vista. When Vista Home came out, they recommended it. They gave it like 8 out of 10. But now that
right.
now that there's a huge backlash for Vista, they have top 10 worst products of the year. And it's on there as number 7 or something. So
maybe it was a bad year.
You shouldn't. That would mean it was an awesome year.
An 8 out of 10, and I mean, yeah, it was an awesome year.
You can't trust anything out of a CNET network.
That's why you don't trust single sources of anything. Any single forum post, any single review site, anything.
When looking at news, the same
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. You can't trust any one blogs, you know. The thing with blogs, though, is they're fucking, like, they're infectious. One blog site says something, and then they all propagate the same thing, you know.
Well, I'm not a big... Well, I look at Kotaku and Joystick and Destructoid. Mm-hmm.
Well, I loved Destructoid's rebattering. They bought CashHorror.com, and they made it everything in the style of GameStop. Did you see that? GameSpot. I keep saying GameStop. GameSpot. Did you see it? Like, they had the same logo as GameSpot, but instead of the O of GameSpot being like a little sunburst, it's got the O of CashHorror.
Wow.
And it's everything is in the same font, and it says they're running a special. Get a, was it a 9 out of 10 for advertising on our site? And it's like a 6, and then animates into a 9. It like turns 180 degrees, and the 6 becomes, it's a 6 out of 10, and then it rotates 9 out of 10 for advertising. Buy advertising, get a free 9 out of 10 or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know whose reviews I do trust?
Mine.
Yours, I believe, are honest. Well, I might not always agree with them.
Okay.
They're definitely, I can always give you above anyone else, I can say that you're honest.
That's true.
The guy, Zero Punctuation from The Escapist.
Mm, yeah, okay.
I have yet to disagree with him.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played every game he's reviewed. Like, I haven't played Assassin's Creed yet.
Well, right.
But I think initially I was very hyped on Assassin's Creed. I was really into it. It was one of my top 5 most wanted games of the year.
I saw all
the reviews and all the backlashes from forum posts, and I'm like, now I don't even want the game.
I figured it would be exactly what it is.
Now I've gone back and thought, I'll give it a shot. So I was thinking it's going to be like a 9.5 out of 10 game, and then I was thinking it's going to be a 6.5 out of 10 game, and that was probably going to be like an 8.5.
Yep.
Which, curiously, most reviewers didn't give. They either gave 7s or like 9.5s. Almost nobody gave 8s or 8.5s. They either really were disappointed or really loved it. So, anyway, there's that. What else? All right, so this next item on our news/rant section, they have just come to... I just admit to myself that I think in my eyes, the 360 has pretty much won.
I think we have to give it another 6 months.
For me, I said for me, in my opinion, the 360 is one in my book. It's done.
Isn't the Wii number one sales?
No, for me. Like, any time that a game comes out, if it's multi-platform, I'll buy it for the 360.
Well, that's how I was with the Xbox.
Yeah, same thing, yeah. But I don't know, man. I can't even bring myself to bring PS3 games anymore because the achievements thing is just too much of a draw. The online aspect is just too much of a draw.
Even though you're paying for it, it doesn't even hurt.
It's $50 a year. Totally worth it. Probably the best $50 I spend all year. Every year. And you don't even have to pay that because you can buy discounted cards.
Right.
So some people pay as little as $30 for the whole year.
Or people that bought the Xbox Live One cards that worked for the 360.
Yeah, for like $13 or something. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Xbox Live costing money is completely worth it, even at full price of $50.
Yep. And so, their presentation of downloadable games, way better than the PlayStation Network.
Developers seem to prefer the 360 as well. I'm taking both a design class and a programming class, and in both, you know, and these are all taught by people who actually work in the industry. And I've talked at some length with the professor of the programming class. And he just flat out says the 360 is just easier to program for, you know? It's almost a wash technology-wise. The processor on the PlayStation 3 is definitely more advanced, but when you take the whole system into account, the 360 ends up being pretty much as powerful. And you can tell, it's evident in the games. Even games that are programmed specifically for the PS3 don't look that much better. Yeah. I mean, Ratchet and Clank is a great example. It looks great, but does it really look that much better than a Xbox 360 game? No.
I wouldn't even say it looks that much better than Mario Galaxy, with the exception that there's a lot more going on the screen.
So, as far as technology, I think that PlayStation is lost in that they're equal. You know, because they spend a whole extra
for
year.
Being a whole lot more expensive to be exactly. equal is really shitty.
Exactly. So that's pretty much a loss right there. You know, at best, the PlayStation can hope to break even with the 360.
They need to bust out home and add it and have a good achievement system for it.
See, but it's getting almost to the point where it doesn't even matter. When you have a great system, it doesn't matter if the majority of people are not playing it. You know? And America...
Which was Xbox last generation.
Yeah, in America, it's 360 all the way.
Or the Wii.
I still don't consider Wii next gen. It's sort of like tier two. It's still on my tier two. Tier one is PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. Tier two is PS2, Wii, and PSP. Sad that it's grouped with a portable. And
what
then
about the DS?
The DS, it's in its own thing.
The portable N64.
The DS is just runaway on its own. It just
it's its own genre.
You could say that it competes with the PSP, but I would argue that it doesn't. You know, maybe it's supposed to. And that's because I had really, when the PSP came out, I was all about the PSP.
Me too.
I thought this was the greatest thing ever. It's going to kick the shit out of that ridiculous DS. It's retarded.
I sold my DS to get my PSP. What a poor decision.
No, it was a good decision at the time. But then after time, the DS and its one-year head start, which the Xbox 360 is enjoying over the PS3, it was just too much. Was it 1 year or 6 months?
I don't remember. It was a while.
Yeah, well, anyway, for the first year and a half, DS sucked balls, you know? And I was just like, this system's a fucking disaster. And the PSP has got to be the way of the future. It's so fucking ridiculously good, you know, at power and screen and Wi-Fi and all this. It's just badass, you know?
But too easy to pirate games for.
Well, no, I think it's just way too easy to port PS2 games to. That's what was the real problem. They kept porting all those PS2 games. And in theory, that's not just a bad thing. Having a portable PS2, doesn't that sound awesome?
It does.
But in practice, people were like, well, I don't really want to play Grand Theft Auto. You know, at least I didn't on the PSP. That's a game that you sit and play 40 hours. I don't want to stare at a 2.5-inch screen for 40 hours.
Now, Wipeout
short, you know, pick up and play portable games, real portable games on a portable system. The PSP did these grand PS2 ports. And, you know, when you're got 10, 15 minutes to spare, you want to pass some time playing some
They ported
brain training.
A lot of RPGs, but older generation RPGs to the DS.
They did. And they fill a niche, you know, the people that play RPGs. But at the same time, I mean, it just... Nintendo just happened to, you know, design the right hardware and have the right software for it, whereas PSP designed great hardware and didn't have good software for it.
Yep. They were pushing, once again, Sony pushing media instead
I'm ready to declare DS a winner, and I don't care if you agree with me or not, but...
The DS is a winner for sure.
I think it's one. The 360...
redesign for the DS and make it even more.
I think in America, 360 is one. For next gen, for tier two, well, who's running against the Wii but the PS2 and the PSP, you know?
Yeah.
The Wii may actually end up being...
I don't know what the hell is going to happen with Japan.
I think the Wii will definitely have more consoles out the bigger base.
But their attach rate will be tiny.
But I think that the 360 will sell more software. And it's evident in the financials for that. Did we look at that one EA financial report where... The 360 made up the great majority of their sales. And then next was, I think, the DS or Wii, one of those two. The PS3 was, like, way far behind. A fraction.
They lost, didn't they?
No, I don't know. It was a fraction. And that's another reason why games, I think, look a lot the same is because it seems like they target the 360 as their prime development system and then port to the PS3.
Right.
Oftentimes not making enhancements, and sometimes it doesn't even as good as the original. You know,
which is the same for ports have always been right. Ports, every right. generation of system ever.
Right. So when you're when you have 10 million PS or 360s and 2 million PS3s out there, whatever that case may be, of course you're going to develop for the one that there's more for. It just makes more financial sense.
Yep.
Right. So Microsoft gamble of putting a year early with the possibility of having inferior hardware still paid off. You know, in Japan they just fucking hate the 360. Oh well. You know. And it's weird because the Wii is outselling everything. It's almost like they don't, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as they just don't give a shit about next generation graphics and shit like that, which is sort of weird for Japan.
Which is weird for Japan because they're real tech country. They're all about HD.
They're all about,
I think they're past the 51% attach rate.
Their cell phones are incredible, you know, in Japan. But for some reason, they've decided to attach themselves with the lower quality technology.
Wired had an article saying that a lot of Japanese aren't owning computers anymore because they can just browse the web on their phone and they don't care what else do they need it for.
Mm-hmm.
A word processor?
Yeah, I guess. But still, that's sort of strange that Japan, you would think if they're going to adopt anything, they would adopt the PS3 at an alarming rate because of the technology behind it. But they're not. The Wii is just completely killing them.
Yep.
You know? And the 360 is a blip, barely a blip on the radar. You know? There's no way. They lost that battle the first month, you know, that they sold jack shit for 360 sales in Japan.
I don't know. If 360 keeps getting exclusive RPGs, they're going to slowly build up.
I think the ending market share for
Dragon Quest?
The ending, I'm going to do a little prediction here. At the end of, what do you think this, 2005, 2010 would be the next generation?
We're 2 years in, but let's call it the first year because the Wii's only been out for a year. The Wii by is going to be the determiner.
By 2010, we'll just say. It may be still at the tail end of this generation. By 2010, I think the Wii will have 40% of the market share. The 360 will have, well, if I give probably 40% and then probably PS3 20%. In America.
In America. Oh, in America, you're being too generous to the PS3.
You don't think they get 20%?
And I think the Wii will have more than the 360.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe 35, 45.
If you do it by software sales, it's going to be all 360.
Yeah, but software sales, I think it would probably be, yeah. The thing is, because people buy the Wii, and because they're going after the casual gamer, they don't buy very many games. By definition, they're casual gamers. Right?
They buy one game,
and not only that, the Wii
month.
Comes with the only game they fucking care about anyway.
Well,
Wii Sports.
Mario Galaxy.
After a while, they may be bored with Wii Sports and dust it off and say, you know, I want to play a new game, and they'll pick up whatever the fuck, right? But the majority of people that play bought it for fucking Wii Sports, right? That's the shit.
And then
and it comes
play,
with the system.
And you know what's going to be next, though? It's already out in Japan.
Wii Fit.
I can't wait for it.
I can wait.
Well, I can wait long enough for an English copy.
I can definitely wait. I can wait past that. The Wii is just not made for me, and I don't like it.
I love it. I just don't love it
enough.
What do
you love about the Wii?
Mario Galaxy.
Fuck Mario Galaxy. Let me revisit the Mario Galaxy thing. I'm not going to go as far as to say it's a bad game. It's just not... All I want to say... Maybe I said some things that were a little... not true. But all I want to say is not that fucking good. Get over it. It's not that good.
Okay? I don't know. I've been playing it for 2.5, almost 3 weeks. And still, every
it's
time I sit down to play it, I
enjoy
it.
It's the second best game of all fucking time.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying that.
I never said that.
According to Game Rankings, it is. And that's an aggregate review score from all these websites.
Does that count that Famitsu gave it 11 out of 10?
Did they? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Because that throws everything off.
It's almost like I have
no
to be
game system.
It's almost like I have to balance the system. I got to be more negative than I normally would. And to counter the thing that where I say would it get a higher score if it was Sonic? Would I hate it as much if it was Sonic? No, I wouldn't.
You know what I would say is best about the balance for Super Mario Galaxy? You only need to get 60 stars out of 100 and something. To beat the game, do the final level, and beat the game.
That's the same thing as Mario 64. You didn't need all 96 stars.
Right. But those first 60 stars are pretty easy. Just an intermediate player could do it easy.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get past that, the levels are for hardcore gamers. And I think that balance right there, which I don't feel that Mario 64 had some hardcore levels, just that right there ups the score for me.
And then there's a thing where just because I don't like a game doesn't mean that it's bad. And I'll agree. I mean, there's definitely games out there, and I've said this before,
that are
good games, but that I just don't like them.
That's how I feel about PGR and Gran Turismo.
Agreed. I'm not really a fan of those either, but I will not say they're not good games because I think they are. I think they're great feats in technology and design. It's just not for me.
And I feel the same way about sports games.
Except I don't like
sports
games
either.
That
you're a sucker if you pay $60 every year for a sports game.
But see, some people only buy that game and that's it for the whole fucking year. And they look forward to it.
I don't even know their game. What do we call those gamers? Just sports gamers?
Madden gamers. Not even sports gamers. Just Madden gamers.
Because they sure as hell aren't playing Virtual Tennis 4.
Those are a different type of casual gamer. You know?
Frat gamers. I was reading up
on the guy who had won the $100,000 for Madden.
Yeah.
And they asked him what other games he plays. He says, I don't really play any other games. I just play Madden. That's all he plays. He says he plays a little bit of college, the NCAA version. And that's it.
The same game.
But yeah. He says about a month before Madden comes out, he buys that and plays that. Then he plays Madden. That's it. He doesn't play anything else. Is that not a casual gamer? Why is it because he plays a lot of that one game that makes him not a casual gamer?
Well, it would be like...
Does casual gaming mean...
You were a Quake gamer. I mean, you played a shitload of Quake.
What if you played fucking 2 hours of Bejeweled a night? Is that casual gamer?
That's pretty hardcore.
Exactly.
It's not a casual gamer. It's something else.
If you play, 15 hours of casual gamings a week, is that really casual games? Does casual gamer mean that you play easy to pick up and play games, or that you don't play a lot of games? Or is it you only play very few games?
I think it means that you play sporadically very few games and easy to pick up games.
Because you could play a lot of casual games.
I mean, I know a guy who only plays Nintendo first-party games, Donkey Kong 64, Banjo-Kazooie. That's not really Nintendo. It's Rare.
And it's
Mario's
Nintendo.
And Zelda's. That's all he plays, but he plays the crap out of them. He does speed runs. He just goes through them.
So is that casual gaming?
I don't think so.
Well, there you go. But he doesn't buy a lot of software.
No, he doesn't. But the games that he plays, oh, man.
So that's the thing Nintendo may be worried about. I don't know. That they may sell a shitload of Wiis, but those people aren't buying as many games as the 360.
Well, they're buying Zelda. They're buying Mario.
And they're not even doing that great. Zelda didn't do that great. It probably was the lowest performing Zelda ever.
It probably didn't do that great, but that's the type of game that's going to continue to sell throughout the life of the system. And I think that people are going to take that into account when they look at those games.
Yeah, Call of Duty 4 in 2 months is pretty much going to go... Doo.
Yeah, and I'm going to be able to pick it up for $20,
exactly.
$30.
Just like Call of Duty 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, those Mario games and those Zelda games definitely do have more staying power. Like Pokemon has great staying power.
Yep. They still produce copies of the Game Boy Advance versions of Pokemon. They're still selling them.
Yeah, well... So, I mean, there's all types of different gamers. We're just a small niche subset now. We used to be the majority, and I think now we're definitely the minority. And the Wii's just proven that, the Wii and the DS.
But I think that because of our software, the amount of software we buy, we can never be discounted.
Oh, no, there's no way, because we buy so many. I mean, who buys as many games as me? Nobody.
You know, I forgot to say, I got my
Nobody.
Wii
I don't
my
even
Wii
think you buy as many
in.
Games as I do. You rent more games than I do, though.
I got my Wii condoms.
I got a notice saying that they had sent them, but I haven't gotten
them. I got my notice on Friday, and I got them on Saturday.
They're probably in my mailbox. I haven't checked.
They
and
feel
how are they?
A lot better.
They're
me.
Comfortable to hold?
Really comfortable.
That's cool. I did get
it
the...
It feels just like my junk.
I got.
Not so warm, though.
I got the... Let me put them in the microwave.
Oh.
5 seconds, maybe?
No.
No?
I think that's probably not going to work so hot with motion sensor.
I did get the... Well, I was just talking about the jackets only.
Oh, maybe.
I did get the updated, what are they called, straps. Did you get those?
I did not, and they're no longer available.
What? When did you order them? I ordered them like 2 weeks ago.
I didn't order them.
Oh, really?
There was no. They said they're not available. Well, maybe they're not. I think it said they're not currently available. Maybe they're available now.
I ordered them about 2-3 weeks ago. They already came in.
Well, I'll order them.
Yep. Okay, what else we got here? Basically, just going reiterating, summing up that whole conversation was that, for me, I think the 360 is just one.
Is this our longest podcast ever?
I don't know. But we still got a little bit more
to
go.
We still got more to go.
Another thing I wanted to say is that I am no longer buying limited editions and collector's editions.
Is it because, a month later on Amazon, you can buy the Halo Legendary Edition for $60?
No, that solidified my stance, but it's not why. You know why I did that?
Because they don't give you anything worthwhile?
It was Devil May Cry. That pissed me off enough. They announced the Devil May Cry limited or collector's edition, whatever the fuck they're calling it.
What do they give you?
They give you, and it was not so much what they're giving you, it's the price. And you could argue the Halo Legendary Edition was outwardly ridiculous, and I would agree with you. But Devil May Cry wants to charge you $89 for their limited edition.
What's in it?
Making of documentary, some art crap, and a couple of episodes for their anime.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap. And basically, they're saying, well, it costs $20 more instead of $10 more because we're giving you these anime episodes. And you're not giving me shit. You're making me pay for them. And I don't want to buy your fucking anime. You're just advertising. You're only giving me the first few episodes so that I can buy more of your shit. I'm like, giving them to
me. You want
me
to pay your
give
limited
them
edition
to me so that I can buy your episodes.
To advertise to me.
Exactly.
I'm paying you to advertise to me. And I can see why you're pissed.
So,
but I've known this for a long time.
No, but the other stuff wasn't like that. And you remember the Halo 2 stuff was
Halo
only
was
five.
Just like that.
Halo 2 was $5 more.
For a sweet ass case.
And it came with a bonus disc with some good stuff on it. And then they started going to $10 more, right, for this generation. And, you know, I was always buying them just because I'm a collector. So it sort of fits that I buy collector's editions.
I bought the basic version of Halo 3.
And then they started getting crazy. And I don't mind crazy. Like BioShock, at least you got some nice shit. You got did you get a replacement? Oh, I got my replacement was supposed to be in the mail.
I did not get my replacement one.
Because you didn't get one. Anyway.
Yours was the limited edition.
But you didn't get the broken one.
I got it broken later after it was way too late to fill out the form for it.
You got a broken one later?
No, my cats broke it later.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, they're finally sending those out, by the way. I got an email a couple of weeks ago.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it's just totally not worth it. They need to start packing in shit like full soundtracks. I'm tired of these soundtrack samplers. They'll give you 3 to 6 extra songs. I'm like, no, motherfuckers, give me the whole soundtrack. Now, BioShock did that. They gave you like 3 songs and a soundtrack. But like
they
the next week,
download them
yeah,
for free.
They let you download all of them for free. So that wasn't so bad. They kind of made up for that. But, you know, soundtrack samplers, teasers for anime series that you're going to be selling or producing for television. That's not, no. That's not good. You know what I mean? So I didn't buy the limited edition for Mass Effect because I looked at the limited edition, I'm like, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I ain't buying it. So, unless there's something worthwhile. Now, I missed the days of Working Designs already. Working Designs had some nice shit in their stuff. And they weren't even limited edition. Sometimes they were just the edition. That we're talking cloth maps, pendants, playing cards, puppets, shit like that. You know, like real cool stuff. Watches. Now, that's cool stuff. Full soundtracks for the whole game, full color manuals, you know, with bound, hardbound manuals. That's some nice packaging. Of course, they went out of business, but, you know, that's some nice packaging. You're
as
lucky.
As much as I didn't like the game, Lunar for the PS1.
Yeah, great packaging.
Great packaging.
Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes they don't even put shit in the manual because they want you to buy the fucking $20. And they used to be, I remember when strategy guides were $10. Then they were $13, then $15, then $17. Now they're fucking $20.
And the internet exists.
$20. And then if you want now they got special editions for fucking guides. $30 guides for a $60 game. You're talking $100 after taxes.
Damn it, casual gamers, get off my lawn.
Yeah, so get the fuck away from me with your limited edition bullshit. If you're going to put limited edition shit in there, make it nice. Make it worth my while. Cater to me. I'm your person that buys the shit all the time.
Yep.
You know? Don't fuck me over. I'm going to stop buying your shit. And like I am now. So now I'm going to go over all the limited edition, collector's edition content very closely to make sure that it's worth it for me.
As you always should have.
Oh, before I would just buy it. You know, I wouldn't even check. I would be like, it's got to be some cool stuff in there. No. You know? And then Devil May Cry is just like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you and your limited edition collector's edition bullshit. I'm not fucking buying it. Sit on it like the Halo collector's edition things and sell it for half price 6 months later, assholes. So
yep,
I'm done with that shit.
Let's talk about something awesome.
Okay, hope you mean Street Fighter 4.
That is what I mean. Street Fighter 4 looks
long time coming, man.
Awesome.
Now here's what I'm afraid of.
New sprites. Are you afraid of the new sprites? Because
no,
I'm not afraid of
the
new sprites.
Wait. Are you talking about the HD remix, or
no,
are you talking
no,
about
no.
Street Fighter 4?
Street Fighter 4.
They're not sprites. They're models. They're 3D.
Well, the new models. The new models and backgrounds.
Here's what I'm afraid of. There's a little thing called Street Fighter EX.
I thought they said it's 2D with 3D models.
That's what EX is.
No, EX is 3D, isn't it?
It is 3D.
You can strafe, can't you?
No.
It's been a long time since I played EX.
Street Fighter EX series is 2D.
Was not made by Capcom, right?
No, it's made by Eureka. But I'm afraid it'll play poorly. It'll play like the Eureka EX, like the Eureka EX series, because that was garbagey. Although you could still do the same combos and stuff, it felt way different. If they can somehow pull off 3D updated looks with 2D perfect gameplay, I will be all over that.
Why couldn't they pull that off?
I don't know.
It makes their development easier.
I guarantee you there's hardly anybody left from the original Street Fighter II team there.
I find that highly doubtful.
You think so? Mm-hmm. You think the original developers are still there from 91?
Not all of them, obviously. But I would say
20%. I want to say this is a very different Capcom. Very different Capcom than the Capcom that existed back in the day.
Oh, well.
So I have high hopes for it, but, you know, I'm going to be a little leery about it. I'm not going to get all, you know, I have high hopes that it's possible. It's possible it could be really good. It could be really, it's either going to be really good or really bad. Let's just say that, right? It's not going to be any in-between shit.
I think it's going to be one of those games where you love it.
Or hate it, or right? Hate it. Exactly. So it's going to be really good or really bad.
I think it'll be really good.
What I do have higher hopes for, and I think that I am justified in doing this, is in having these higher hopes, is the HD remix of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
I don't know. They're rebalancing it.
They are rebalancing, but you know what they did for the puzzle one, Street Fighter 2 Puzzle Fighter, is they offered both modes. They offered the rebalance mode and the original mode. So I wouldn't put past them
to
do the same thing.
So now if they want to do tournaments, they're going to have two tournaments? Rebalance and original?
I wouldn't mind a rebalancing, honestly. Especially since the one thing I read was that they were making Ken more powerful.
Did he suck?
Ken was always my favorite character-wise, not necessarily gameplay-wise. And in Street Fighter 2, he was identical in every single way to Ryu. For Street Fighter 2. In Championship, they started making differences.
Yeah.
And I did like his more powerful uppercut, or Shoryuken, but his Hurricane Kick was definitely not as good as Ryu's, and it's arguable, like, which one was more useful. They were still pretty even.
I suspect that...
But by Super Street Fighter 2, Ryu was clearly more powerful.
I suspect that the reason they made him exactly the same in Street Fighter 2 was because they didn't want to do doppelganger matches, where one character versus the same character, and everyone wanted to play as Ryu.
Yeah. Well, you mean the original Street Fighter 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they added the most wanted feature was player versus same character versus same character.
Yeah.
And Champion Edition, and then all that went out the window. So then you would basically have four versions of the same guy.
Basically.
Right? So they started making changes to him. And by the time we got to Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, he was, like, way different. And Ryu clearly had the advantage, especially in the Super. Ryu has that Super Fireball, much better. And his he had some sliding moves, like, that could advance him while attacking. Very good. And anyway, but Ken kind of sort of got revenge if... Fake characters can get fake revenge in Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, because Ken was way better. Ken had some great supers in that one. So we'll see how this rebalancing goes. I'm not afraid of it. I welcome it. And if they can make Ken better and still keep the game pretty balanced, there's supposed to may not be huge sweeping changes, but some just touches here and there. I'm confident that they can do a good job with that. And have you seen the screens, full screens for it? Not just little singles. It looks amazing. So I'm actually more excited about that than Street Fighter 4 at this moment until I learn more about Street Fighter 4.
I'm excited for both.
I am
equal
too.
Excitement.
We already talked about Super Mario Bros.
Galaxies.
Rock Band Guitars, I didn't really talk about this too much.
Yeah, we did.
Did I?
Yeah.
How I had problems, had problems with it? I did?
You talked about that whole thing.
Oh,
you did.
Wow, I have a poor memory. That was only like an hour or so ago. Okay, so fuck that. And last thing we didn't talk about was Xbox Originals. All I have to say about that is what?
Buy Psychonauts?
That's... Okay, I was looking for one word, and that was going to be Psychonauts. But buy Psychonauts also works. So the only bad part about buying Psychonauts for Xbox Originals is that it's $15.
So?
And if you go buy Psychonauts anywhere else, it's probably less than 10.
But you're playing entirely off of a hard drive.
That's true. Was there bad loading
times? $5 worth of load time. I don't know. I only played it off the hard drive on my modded Xbox.
That's a good point.
But
it's also available for free on GameTap through the end of the year, I think.
If you subscribe to GameTap.
No, for free.
I'm pretty sure it's if you subscribe to GameTap.
Well, how that would be free. If you subscribe to GameTap, you can play them all for free, technically.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, it's for free. You
anyway,
just need the GameTap
Psychonauts,
software.
Awesome. Psychonauts?
I might buy it.
Awesome.
I might buy it. And all right, let's sort of start wrapping up here. We'll end up with our Indie of the Week. And you didn't see this at all. Right? This Tom Brokaw thing?
I don't have cable.
You don't have cable? No. This was posted on Kotaku, I think, today.
Oh, I haven't been on the internet all day.
Yeah. So basically, here's the sum up here. Tom Brokaw was interviewed by townhall.com, and they were talking about, you know, since he's left NBC, you know, how things have been going and stuff. And he was asked, Tom Brokaw was asked by Hugh Hewitt of townhall.com, if he thought it was right for NBC to air the Virginia Tech Killers tape. And basically, the thought behind that is, are you encouraging people to do these sorts of things by, you know, giving them the attention, you know? So basically what NBC did is the first day that they got the tape, they showed it, right? And Tom Brokaw was asked, you know, did you think that was appropriate? And they said, yeah. And then, they probe more and they say, well, don't you think that's just going to encourage others who want airtime before they, you know, kill other people and then themselves? And Brokaw basically says this, and I know how you like to read quotes. So you want to read this?
It was not what people saw of him on the air.
No, try again.
It was not?
No. Try again. In between those two.
It was not what people saw of him on the air that will drive them. It's what they read in blog sites and what they see in video games. It's that kind of stuff that I think is cancerous. And I'm a free speech absolutist. But I think that at the same time, we have to have free speech in some kind of a context.
So basically...
So he's saying blogs are bad. Free speech on blogs are bad. Must have free speech.
What I thought was weird is at the end he says, I'm a free speech absolutist. But at the same time, free speech must be in some kind of context. So is it me or does absolutist mean different than what I think he thinks it means?
It means absolute. Hence the word absolutist.
So it's like saying, I completely believe free speech no matter what, except that free speech must be in certain context.
That's what he says.
That's a little retarded to me.
Little retarded?
And
what the
furthermore,
fuck does he know about gaming? That's what I'd like to say.
Exactly.
Isn't he like 70 at
you
least?
You know what was great? When Kotaku had this post on their website, the keyword was dinosaur. So basically, it's
excellent.
This old dude that basically
has no idea about gaming.
So he thinks that weblogs and video games are a cancer, basically, is what he's saying.
Well, if you are a newscaster, they are a cancer because everyone's doing your job for you for free.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a double-edged sword, right? You get all this news really fast, but they don't really do a whole lot of fact-checking a lot of the time. So you really have to
like
take everything...
Fox News and CNN.
You have to take it with a huge grain of salt, but at least it's there for you, you know? It's there for you, and sometimes it's there in raw form, and you can make your own judgment based on what your beliefs are. It's not sugar-coated. It's not, you know, this is news, what I'm talking about. News isn't sugar-coated. It's presented in its raw format. They may provide some insight to it, but...
Bullshit.
So anyway, Tom Brokaw, congratulations. You've taken the
All news is biased.
The Idiot of the Week Award. And I actually saw one from Jack Trenton, and I was really tempted.
No, shut up. You didn't say his name.
to bring in our Mr. Trenton. We should almost call it the Jack Trenton Quote of the Week. But no,
he's being barred from practicing, thankfully.
Jack Trenton?
Oh, no, not Jack Trenton. I'm sorry.
You're thinking about Jack Thompson.
Is it all people with Jack suck?
Jack Tripper was awesome.
He was awesome. He even showed a nut in an episode.
What?
Yeah, there's an episode of Three's Company where Pachoo jumps up on the bed in his short shorts and Pka.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they didn't.
Why do you fucking know this?
They didn't catch it until it was rerun on Nick at Night because televisions at the time didn't have enough definition to see it.
Is this on YouTube?
I have not looked.
I want to see Jack Tripper's nut circa 1979.
Just one nut.
Just one nut. I always want to see that. I do remember him jumping over the couch a whole lot in his little short shorts.
In his little short shorts. You know, the twig and berries got to pop out sometime.
That is fucking funny, dude. I'm going to have to look that up now. Oh, man. That show was awesome. I remember when...
My favorite episode is the one where everything's all a misunderstanding.
Yeah, that was a good episode. It is a situational comedy, right?
And the situation is...
It's just a big misunderstanding.
Oh, and the one where his landlord made fun of him for being gay.
Yeah, that was also a good one. Well, which landlord, Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper?
Does it matter?
No. Which did you like better, Mr. Roper or Mr. Furley? I think they both were good.
Which one was Don Knotts?
Mr. Furley.
Mr. Furley? I like Mr. Furley better.
Really? Norman, what's his name, was
but
Mr. Roper.
Mr. Roper.
Greg Norman?
Whenever Greg Mr. Norman's Roper a fucking made a gay golfer. Face, that was the best part of the episode.
Anyway, all right, let's fucking wrap this shit up.
Game you shouldn't play of the week, but should. Wait.
I'm going to switch it to game you shouldn't play of the week, but have. And that's Mario Galaxy for me.
Guitar Hero 3 for me.
Guitar Hero 3. Okay. All right, with that, we'll see.
Buy Psychonauts.
You know, have you bought Psychonauts?
I already own Psychonauts. Why do I need to buy it again?
If you really wanted to show support for Psychonauts, you'd rebuy it.
But I have it original. For the PC and the Xbox.
I need to buy Psychonauts. Okay, with that, we will leave you and hopefully be here next week. We will see.
Yes.
I'll be out of my job for almost a month on the Christmas extended holiday vacation. So whenever you get out early from
work. I haven't even put in my time to get out.
Whenever you get out early from work, we can get together and make a podcast happen. All right, with that, we'll see you next time.
Next time, yes.
Come and knock on our door. Take a step that is new.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are.
Hers and his.
Please company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take